Recording?
Yeah, recording.
This is Mom's Basement Playtest, the Trouble with Rose edition. And there are more fireworks outside my window. Jesus Christ. Really? It's... The 4th of July was over a month ago, but this is New Hampshire, and no one gives a shit. It's just fireworks from here on out until it gets too cold to light a fuse, I guess.
Yep.
Anyway, so are you guys ready to play the Trouble with Rose?
Yeah.
I didn't seem enthusiastic enough.
Meh.
Meh? Meh? Come on, come on. Are you guys ready to play the Trouble with Rose?
Yeah!
No, that's bad.
Yeah!
No, that was a little...
How do you do the...
Yes?
I need a wave of, what's his name there? Little John, or whoever the fuck says
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Little John. Little right, John. Go ahead. Okay. Okay, yes. I'm procrastinating even more than usual. This is how bad I'm getting at being evasive. I can't even start playing the game. It's like, well, we'll start recording. Let's sit around and... It's like something in me that there's just this innate evasiveness in me. You could come up to me and be like, hey man, do you want $1 million right fucking now? And I would be like, well, you know, if you feel like giving it to me, I guess I wouldn't mind.
Law.
I don't know what's wrong with me is what I'm saying. Okay, the Trouble with Rose. All right, so first of all, we need a setting. So let's use the random setting generation mechanic. So what we would do then is we draw a card, and the number on the card, what am I looking for? There's suits and there are
ranks.
The rank of the card determines the setting, and the suit of the card determines why Rose is in trouble. So who wants to do the honors and draw the random card?
I will.
Okay.
That's a 7 of hearts. 7. A casino or gambling den.
Ooh.
Hearts is forbidden romance. Hmm. How do you guys feel about that?
We've already done a casino.
Okay.
For one of our playtests, I mean.
Well, Rudy, do you want to do the honors of drawing another card?
Yep. Queen of Spades.
Queen of Spades. The Queen of Spades.
Cut off with her head.
Is.
Murder or frame for it.
Murder or. Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Although, yeah. Off with her head is kind of ambiguous. That almost sounds like an Alice in Wonderland-esque setting.
Yeah.
But I could guess it could be any kind of cutthroat setting.
Hmm. So off with her head.
Off with her head, and Rose is in trouble because of a murder.
So yeah, she's basically Jason Bourne.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of the video game, Alice.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, actually, this makes me think of... have either of you seen the Manchurian Candidate? Either the old one or the new one?
No, I haven't seen that, actually.
Oh, the old one is better, by the way.
Oh, Alex, total hipster.
You saw the old one?
Yeah, I have.
Basically, it's about this guy who's brainwashed into attempting to assassinate a presidential candidate.
Ooh.
And there's a bunch of subterfuge and Cold War era paranoia and stuff.
Cold War paranoia.
Angela Lansbury plays a Soviet agent.
Ooh.
It's basically awesome because Angela Lansbury is in it. But anyway, so that's what that reminded me of.
Yeah.
Oh, and the reason it reminded me of it is because the Queen of Hearts is the card that is part it's part of a code or something that
it's the card that triggers the attempt.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I see.
So I don't know. Any thoughts on a setting from there?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It doesn't wow me. But then again, What game isn't like World of Warcraft?
Well, let's let me draw one more card then. Ace of Hearts. Space, the Great Frontier. I don't want to do another space game. We've been doing a lot of space. Although Forbidden Romance in space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rudy gets to have sex with an alien.
That could get epic.
Mass Effect.
Yeah. Mass Effect.
Okay. Four of Spades. We're just drawing cards now. Four Winds of the Orient. Oh
man, we have to do that one.
And murder a frame for it. I'm sure that we cannot in any way record a podcast team that wouldn't offend at least Chris Chin, if not many others. Plus, we did that with God King.
Yeah, we did that already. That's true.
All right, so six of diamonds.
Six of diamonds.
Six guns and dust. And diamonds are shameless theft. So... Western theme with shameless theft.
That's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We rob a bank.
We haven't
or
done
a train.
Yeah. Train robbery would be cool.
Rudy is just going to turn it into Firefly, though.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how to do that.
No, that's exactly why I wanted to do that. I had a feeling he wanted that.
Okay, we can do a Western. Not a space Western, though, just a regular Western.
Well, Firefly wasn't a space Western. It was mainly a Western, and every now and then there was moments of space.
There was some space.
Although it's going to be troubling because you're not going to be able to say, like the my horse it needs fixing.
Yes, that's true.
It's engine troubles. There's not going to be horse engine troubles.
But there can be steam engine troubles.
There can.
All right, so anyway, without further ado.
I like the idea of a train robbery.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Or some kind of Old West themed. Okay, so we're going to use Old West then.
I personally like that.
So shameless theft in the Old West.
Yep.
Hey, that rhymed.
Shameless theft in the Old West.
And somehow the shameless theft puts Rose in trouble.
She steals the prince's virginity.
And it absconds with it, and we have to try to get the prince's virginity back because none of us understand how that works.
Well, that'd be pretty awesome.
So yeah, talk amongst yourselves. I'm gonna go take a pee break.
Okay, so
yeah, so somehow Rose is involved in it.
Right, and usually it starts off with Rose somehow being put into exile, right, by a father or a mother figure. Isn't that what he says? Somewhere in here. Usually she's the daughter of a powerful father or perhaps a wicked stepmother who has been exiled, banished, set upon with great peril, or other dramatically fun predicament. So in the Old West, I mean, she could be like the daughter of a robber baron, you know? Like a steam tycoon.
Yeah. Yeah, train tycoon.
Right.
Ba-doom-sh.
Was there a pun there?
Yeah, the game. Train tycoon.
Oh, I see.
That game is old school.
Sorry, Todd. Usually our playtests take a little while to wind up. I don't know, to start going. I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get Chaos is at the Gates or 9 to 5 at the Office.
Yeah.
But we can do a Western. So maybe she's the daughter of a locomotive tycoon. She could also be the daughter of a Native American chief whose land is being encroached upon in one way or another.
Yeah.
And maybe she hooks up with a white, like, man or with a missionary or something, or she gets involved with a missionary, or and so she gets exiled by daddy.
Or, that could be cool.
I don't know.
Can we do a sensitive enough portrayal of Native American?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, I don't know. I maybe. But I don't know if I really want to. I mean, the dances with wolves, Sacagawea shit has been done and done and done.
Yeah, that's true. Huh.
What else is there in the Old West?
There's lots of sand.
Yeah. There's Chinese workers building the railroad. Maybe
I think we better just stay away from that.
but maybe she's like the daughter of a what's the word I'm looking for? Starts with an M. You know, like the like a Mandarin.
Oh, a Mandarin.
Like
oh,
the daughter okay. of a Mandarin who like gets exiled to America for some reason. And has to work on the railroad.
Oh man!
And a truly sensitive portrayal. There were also a lot of former slaves who went out west.
Yeah, see, that's true.
So she could be, I don't know, or she could be the deposed heiress of a southern plantation who hooks up with a emancipated slave and heads out west. And daddy is still at home, like, looking for her.
Yeah.
That way we could have, like, a southern gentleman plantation owner villain.
That's true.
We've done that a lot. But those,
yeah, we have.
But that is such always such a choice role.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably Alex Swingle will come back and he'll be like, no, fuck it, we're doing this. And then we'll be like, that's Mr. Swingle. I wonder if Alex is going to go through and cut out this dead end.
Maybe.
Alright, I'm back enough.
So we've got some possibilities.
Yeah, so we've just, we've been talking about who Rose might be. So, given this is a Wild West theme, we considered having Rose be, one thing she could be is the daughter of a railroad tycoon. Another thing she could be is maybe the daughter of a Native American chief whose land is being encroached on. And maybe she took off with, you know, a missionary or something. Because the idea is that for some reason she's been exiled and her father or mother is a powerful guy. We also said that maybe she was the daughter of a Chinese Mandarin who was, for whatever reason, exiled to America and has started working on the railroads.
Hmm.
All right, I vote that she's the son of a seahorse.
Why do you need to make everything
seahorse?
Wait, how does that even work?
I mean, I don't know. Wouldn't it be like a desert horse? Well, wait.
I just mean, what is it?
A sand horse.
I said that because it doesn't make sense.
Oh.
Because, like, Will, you even said to yourself, that doesn't make any, and then you started to explain yourself. It's just like, no, but seriously, I want her to be the son of a seahorse. And have the baby.
How about she's like a, like we do a Hatfield McCoy type thing, and she's the daughter of like some random Hicks that are feuding with some other random Hicks, and like she is having an affair against her father's wishes with the head of the enemy clan.
That's another good one.
That's been fucked out to death.
Hmm.
Hey.
All of our ideas have. Well, I wonder if there's a way we can make that, like, even more interesting.
Like I said, seahorse, we got one. You know it works.
Dude, why don't we do Wild West in, like, a fucking, like, Soviet gulag in Siberia. That's kind of like a desert.
I do like the idea of using the tundra.
Yeah. Do like non-traditional Wild West.
Ooh, that is a really good idea. Like, so like mid-19th century. So like Dostoevsky's Russia.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Is that the time period?
Russia. Well, Dostoevsky is like 1880s.
Right, okay.
Tolstoy, I think, is like 1850s, 1860s. But yeah, like, so pre-Soviet Russia.
Right.
Like, when you're starting to see a little bit of social turmoil. You know, when you still have the Tsar, and it's still pretty feudal, but you're starting to see the rise of different, like, of a middle class, and of socialism, and organized socialists, and
right.
Political dissidents and stuff. And you're inside a gulag?
Yeah.
Yeah, that... So then maybe, Rose is like the Tsar's illegitimate daughter.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And she's been sent out to the gulag to serve as a nurse or something.
Yeah.
So that the Tsar's, like, wife or political enemies won't find out about her.
Hmm.
Okay, so... Does that sound good? Is everyone in agreement?
Yeah, sounds cool.
Meh.
Meh. Alex Swingle hates everything.
No, it had promise until I heard Gulag. I was like, fuck, not another one of Rudy's Nazi in concentration camp, you know, equivalents.
Dude, the Gulag is awesome. Unless you have to, like, be there and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I guess it would be awesome.
The Gulag.
Yep.
Okay. So, Alex, are you going to go through and take out some of this blank space where we, like, sit around and
perhaps, scratch or... more than likely.
Okay. So then we're pretty much ready to go, right? We've got the, we've got a setting.
Yep.
Got the trouble with Rose. So setting the stage is all done. Player character agendas. Okay. So now we each draw a card secretly. Put it in our hand. Can anyone see my card?
No.
Okay. We're good then.
Alrighty.
Did everyone draw their secret agenda?
Yep.
Well, I really don't like this agenda.
Let me see what mine is. I haven't even read mine yet.
Here. Well, hearts is the player is in love with Rose and seeks to win her heart. Clubs is you seek to defend Rose and perhaps clear her name. Diamonds is you're really in it for the money, fame, or power. Rose is your ticket for doing that. Spades. Fiend. You're secretly working for Rose's downfall.
Hmm. Alrighty.
I hope that somebody got spades. Okay.
Dude, that would be interesting if all of us got spades.
That would be... I guess she'd really be fucked then.
No, she would.
Okay, so creating player characters is next. You need your character's name.
Okay.
And details. And then 6 descriptive attributes.
Hmm.
Sounds like dead air time to me.
Dead air, dead air, dead air.
I had to look up some Russian names. Man, I wish I could do a Russian accent.
Yeah, that's hard.
It is. Woot, Boris.
Yeah, Boris.
Pavel.
I think I'm going to go with Nikita, like Nikita Khrushchev.
Oh, okay. So a male Nikita.
Yeah, not La Femme Nikita.
Yeah, not that. How do you spell Nabokov?
Nabokov.
Okay. Nikita Nabokov. Okay, so... Now I need six traits.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the hardest.
Yeah, first I need some details, just come up with what the fuck the dude is. What kind of, like, jobs did they have in the gulag? Besides forced labor.
I don't know. I don't really know what they did. I think that was pretty much the only job.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they have cooks and overseers and
right.
That kind of thing. Soldiers.
Right.
For the firing squads.
Oh, yeah. And mostly, like, political dissidents and shit were sent there?
Yeah, but murderers were, too, and thieves.
Yeah, like, criminals.
Yeah.
Alright. I think I'm gonna be a gulag guardsman, then. It's gonna be my job.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
36 traits, let's see. No, I have to think of some positive traits. That's going to be about.
How about you do your first negatives, and then, like, after that, you work out your pos?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's right. I know I spelled
that. Yeah.
Frame for a crime he didn't commit.
Yeah, how's that for a negative?
Oh, just a second. I'm making sure I did my patronymic right.
Grigora, bitch.
Well, that's more of a negative that won't really affect the story.
It could, though. I mean, they're sleeping in close proximity to each other.
He's self-conscious about his bedwetting.
But you know what I'm saying? There'll be very few moments where we can actually put that in there.
Yeah, I guess.
No, keep it. No, hey, man, put it back.
Alright. I mean, we are sleeping in close proximity to each other.
Right. And, I mean, like, he's a guard.
Exactly. That's what I was...
If the prisoners find out that he lets him in his bed, he's going to be victimized.
Right.
What are you talking about? He has the gun.
Yeah, but still, you're going to be like, oh, you fucking bedwetter. Don't your negatives have to be 5 and 6, or
yes.
Does that matter?
Yep. 5 and 6. When I say liberal here, I mean that in the classical sense, as in, you know, as in rights and democracy and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know you were playing yourself there, Will.
No, I'm not. If I was playing myself, he would have been. I would have made him a nihilist or something. I thought about making him a socialist, but I don't know. I'm bored of that. Boy, it's hard to come up with 4 positives.
Yeah.
That's so contrary to how we usually create characters.
Yeah, that's the thing. How about can read and write? Would that be a good,
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, literate.
Are we going to, like, cut this out?
Yeah.
Okay, are we ready to, are our characters ready to go, or are we wait? Oh, Alex is still. Swingle. I made a serious character guide.
Yeah.
Now let's see if I actually have the knowledge to play him. Swingle, is he even still here?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Are you about ready to go? Do we need to give you your last trait?
You probably will. Cause, yeah, I'm just really uninspired by this.
I'm really inspired by this.
I'm about an average level of inspired.
I see.
You should have a trait called, like, Artful Dodger or something. Because, like, you're... Well, I guess you're not really a criminal, but... Like, learn to survive in the gulag.
How about something, like, disarmingly honest?
Okay. That'll work.
Okay, so let's read off our characters, then. And sorry about that. I don't know if we ultimately left all that dead air in, but if we did, sorry about that, Todd. Okay, Alex, your character's at the top of the sheet I'm looking at. You can introduce him first.
Yeah, you don't say. Anyways, my character's name is Victor. No last name. Mm-hmm. His detail is that he's a prisoner framed for a crime he didn't commit. What that crime is, I don't even know yet. We'll find out. Anyways, my little special deep traits there or whatever is that I am disarmingly honest. That's my number one. Number mm-hmm. two is everybody deserves a second chance. Number three is concerned about his family back home. Because, you know, it's Russia. They could probably, you know, F them up and you not even know about it.
Right.
Number four, justice is the only thing that matters. And now for my negative ones is five is apathy, as in I don't give a fuck anymore.
Right.
And six becomes hostile at the slightest of things. Because, you know, if you can tell, like, number four could instantly become something that turns into a number six.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what you mean I can't have, you know, salami there? Everyone gets it.
Right.
And that's it.
Three?
All right. My guy is Nikita Nigrovich Nabokov. His details are that he's a sadistic gulag guardsman. His further details or abilities or whatever are good with a rifle, number one. Mm-hmm. One strong Mauchik, number two. Respected by the other guards, number three. Can read and write, number four. And his negative ones are he's a blatant sadist. That's number five. The number six is that he's self-conscious about his bedwetting.
Okay. Okay, my guy is Pavel Grigorievich Kapuskin. And Pavel is an imprisoned liberal social reformer. He's well known and respected by his peers. That's number one. Number two, he has an encyclopedic knowledge of political theory. Number three, he's highly informed about contemporary thought and political opinion. Number four, he's not afraid to work alongside the common man. Number five, this is his first negative, is he craves attention and approval. And number six, his other negative, is that he can be ingratiating and insincere. Okay. You could have just said that. Why did I just say that? Alex typed, "How is this not Will?" Because
I'm afraid. He's not Russian.
That's true. Because I'm afraid to work alongside the common man. Also, I'm not well known or respected by my peers.
Well, we are your peers, and I know you pretty well.
That's true. Granted. All right, so...
Notice how I didn't highlight the respected part?
Yes, I got that. Okay, so now we... we draw...
draw six dominoes, or five dominoes.
Five dominoes. And we secretly draw them so they go in our hand. Okay.
I'll let you guys go first so we're not drawing all on the same fucking
thing. I don't think that matters.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh, you guys are so screwed. So do we get rid of the card we drew, or we keep that?
You keep it. You reveal it at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so everyone drew their dominoes?
Yep. Got five of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, going first. The play begins with the owner of the dominoes. Well, no one...
That would be you, since it's your table server.
Oh. That's true. Yeah. However, the owner can pass the role to anyone at the table if it is desired and accepted.
You're not supposed to read that, Will, because that means you're just going to dodge this thing, like, hardcore.
Well, you know me. I'm an evasive motherfucker. Otherwise, it's their responsibility to get the gaming rolling. Gameplay moves around the table in a clockwise manner from the initial starting position. How are we going to determine clockwise?
Let's just move down the list on the, you know, the little name list or whatever. Yep.
One hand, you get to set the scene, story tempo, and you can create details before other players can contradict them. On the other hand, going later in the story gives you a chance to react and play. Okay, all the world is staged. The current player describes the scene details, including landscape, props, weather, plus any NPCs or PCs who are present. In addition to having the spotlight, they are also the playwright. Yeah, okay. The amount of detail will vary from player to player as they set the atmosphere of the scene. Scene set, the player reveals one of their hidden dominoes, depending on what position. Okay, so I get to choose then who is present in my scene. I could say no one is present in my scene. You're all the audience. Or I could say Rudy's present, but not Alex, because I don't want him fucking up my scene. Or I could say Alex is present and not Rudy.
You should do a monologue.
Because Rudy will fuck up your scene.
I feel like starting with a monologue is a little bit difficult.
Well, no, it's just like you, Will. It's all about you. So do a monologue.
You just don't want to play the game.
It was a dark and stormy night. Although I guess it's always dark and stormy in the gulag.
Okay, well then, maybe I will actually start with Havel monologuing.
I knew it!
Because it was request. I'll play my domino, which is a 2 and a 3,
Roger.
Which means 2 has an encyclopedic knowledge of political theory, 3 is highly informed about contemporary thought and popular opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Whenever you're ready, Will.
Okay. The year? 1863. Russia is just coming out of its feudal period. Like a child going through adolescence, it's experiencing growing pains. With the birth of the middle class in Russia, the creation of a bourgeoisie and a petite bourgeoisie of merchants and industrial workers, and the drive to, and the Tsar's drive to turn Russia into a modern country to mirror those of Europe. There's bound to be consequences. There are bound to be those individuals who, for whatever reason, are the detritus, the trash, the garbage of the industrial world. That's who we are.
Yeah.
We are the father who needed to stole a loaf of bread or some borscht or whatever to steal to feed his family. The man who lost his temper, who wasn't prepared to transition from the country to the insanity of the city, who committed a crime of passion, who was insensitive, was unprepared for the diversity of the city. The would-be social reformer, the Democrat, who the Tsar wasn't ready for, whose pleas for equality of opportunity went unheard by the populace. So we ended up here, in Siberia, in the Gulag.
Yeah.
Victor, last name unknown. A good man, I think. But I can't tell. Honest to a fault, probably. Not a big thinker. Not a man with a great social conscience, but a man with a great individual conscience, I suspect. Nikita Nigrovich Nabokov. A guard, perhaps, but just as much a prisoner of this place as anyone else. So I was told by another inmate that he pisses himself at night. God. A man doesn't lose control of his bowels and his bladder unless there's a reason. I think it's guilt. I don't think that he's the bully inside that he pretends to be outside. And then myself, Pavel, servant of the people, kind, generous, good-natured man. Yeah, born of means, born to a good social position, but damned by his conscience. Yes, damned by his conscience. And his desire to see social change. A man maybe a little bit too good for this world. Yes, maybe a little bit. But anyway, so here we are. Oh, and Rozanovich.
Yeah, Rozanovich. She'd be like Anastasia or something. Because.
Rozanastasia?
Yeah, that'll do.
Now, she's a mystery. I don't know much about her.
She's like the wind.
She doesn't have much to say. Hey, Victor, what do you know about her? And that's the end of my scene.
Okay, so now then I pick up one of my...
The role of the audience. So now you can do a yes but, or a yes and.
Yeah.
Okay, so like I don't drop down my domino piece, I just continue what you're saying?
No, not yet. The scene ends and there's some stuff we need to resolve and then you pick up the next scene.
Yeah. Okay, so like, what am I supposed to resolve then?
Okay, I'll read this off. Okay, before the player's turn ends, everyone at the table gets to act as the rowdy audience. The audience has two tasks, consequences and scoring. Consequences. Often a scene will end just the way a player wants it. After all, they have narrative control. But the audience does have the power to collaborate, and embellish the scene, or perhaps add a bit of twist to the end. In theater terms, this would be a yes and, or a yes but technique. The audience can't radically change the player's scene or veto it, but they can put a spin on it if the majority agrees. By way of example, the audience decides that Ted did a great job of ranting at and threatening Oliver. They decide to add in a consequence to Orlando's bold act. They add in Oliver secretly plotting with Charles the Wrestler to get Orlando's neck broken. So you can add in, like, an addendum to the scene. You can say, like, yes, what I said, and this also happens. Or, yes, that's what you said is true, but also this. And you two, I guess you have to do it as a group. You have to decide on it. It has to be consensus if you want to do that.
There's not much I really want to contribute to that.
Yeah, there's nothing I really wanted to add either. So.
Okay, well then we can do that next time maybe. And then scoring. The audience also gets to act as a critic. No hissing or throwing vegetables, please. Based on the player's story, they decide if the player gets to keep the tile played or if it is discarded. A kept tile adds to the player's score. The player was able to use one of the natures effectively, they only get a partial score. So, do you think that I used both my as an encyclopedic knowledge of political theory and highly informed about contemporary thought and popular opinion?
Well, you definitely use the encyclopedic knowledge of political theory.
I also tried to weave in things about what was happening, both in the camp and, like, in the world. Like, the fact that you're in the midst of the Industrial Revolution, things like that. That was how I was trying to get my thought. My number three,
The highly informed about contemporary
thought and popular opinion, yeah.
I think you got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say pretty much you got that one.
Okay. Alrighty then. So, I think that's it. Scoring and yep. So now, Alex picks up.
Alright, so I can just drop whenever I want. Does it have to connect to your 2 and 3?
Oh, you can just drop whatever domino you want. You just frame the scene first and say who's in the scene, and then you drop your domino.
Okay, hold on here. So, alright, I want to include...
Oh, Skeet.
Ooh, what does the blank... How does the half blank work again?
Counts as a wild or something.
Yeah.
Double blank is when, you know, the person's
dead. Yeah.
Although maybe I should play that right now so I could end it.
Nope.
It has to be the last dies the first
time. No, it's a suggestion to make it last.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to include Will in the scene as well.
Okay.
Just because, you know, we're doing a little back and forth there. Rudy will be on his turn, since it'll be like, you know, he'll have his own grandstand movement.
Right, I see. So I introduced you, and now you're going to introduce Rudy, basically.
Yeah, essentially. Because it'll be like a cinematic moment.
Cinematic movie.
Okay, if the domino being played has a blank, it is treated as a wild card. It matches any pip or a random event, but it's always narrated as a failure, and the player character may even end up being hurt. Okay.
All right, so I'm going to pick one, and we're going to have five as well, since that's, you know, part of the dominoes.
Okay.
All right, so what happens in this scene here... Well, I just need to make sure. Are you, like, coming into the the gulag, or are you already there as you're describing the scene?
I'm there, and I have been there. I feel like maybe Rose just arrived, and that's why she's a mystery.
Okay. So, anyways, the scene continues with me getting butted with a rifle and told to dig harder. And as I hit the ground, I look up to the guard and I say, "But sir, our pickaxes are not strong enough to crack these rocks. I can't do this." and then the person, you know, tells him he doesn't give a frack, and you know, continue to do this. And this is when I go into my own. My own monologue of, let's see, how can I say it? Because it's just, it has to be done like almost Shawshank style, where very flowery. Okay, so I'll say it's been about 5 months since they took me in here. I don't know why I was really arrested, and I don't really care anymore. But all I know is this hellhole ain't for me. Yo, let's see here. Jeez. Pavel seems like he has a plan of his own in the middle of this hell that we're living in. But I don't think it's really going to go anywhere. Because if I know one thing, these guards are definitely not nice. Especially the head honcho. He's a real scum bucket. And that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Okay, I'm going to move in close to you, and I'm going to take out like a dirty rag and use it to sort of half-heartedly, you know, wipe your face off where you got bludgeon. Say, now, Victor, now, don't say that too loudly.
What? Oh, Pavel, I'm sorry. I'm so used to this crap that I forgot I was even talking out loud.
No, I understand. I understand. These Russian winters, they will do things to your mind. Especially here in Siberia, where, you know, I don't remember the last time the sun came up all the way and stayed up. Darkness, you know, this external darkness can become internal darkness very quickly, so you need to be careful. But here, wipe your face off.
Yeah, oh, thanks. And yeah, I rub it. Yeah, clean off some of it. Instead of having a big dirt clod on me, it's a smeared dirt clod. So, who is this? I see the train coming by. Is there who do you think's gonna be on there? There was no talk about anybody showing up.
I don't know. You know, it could be more dissidents. It could be more pickpockets from the city. It could just be more pickaxes and rakes. Because you know we always need more pickaxes and rakes, right?
Yeah, and then my character chuckles, you know, weakly. That's certainly true. That's certainly true. Oh, look, they're stopping in now. And it looks like that son of a bitch is on that train as well. Must be somebody important. And then I'm going to pass it to Rudy.
So, I'm on the train.
And, we need to, if that's the end of the scene, we need to.
Oh, right, we need to vote on stuff. Yeah.
I'm going to suggest I was going to try to incorporate a yes and or a yes but into that. But maybe not. Let's wait until the introductions are over.
Okay.
And, well, I will definitely, you definitely got your one in there. You're disarmingly honest since you basically called the guard a douchebag when the other guards were in listening distance. And number 5 is apathy. I think you got that too. You seem pretty like run down and beaten down by everything, especially near the end of your monologue.
Yeah, because I mean he like dropped his pickaxe and didn't want to work and whatnot.
Right.
All right, so where do we put the piece then?
I guess just move it to your corner, whatever your corner is going to be, so we know that one is scarred. And then if it doesn't get scarred, we'll just put it in the deck. I'll move the deck so that it's not right by you. Oops, I need to... there we go. There. Okay. Rudy.
I set you up big time, Rudy. Come on.
Help brother out. Do you set me up on... on the train here?
Yep.
That's pretty much what
you're getting. the train just kind of pulled into the station, and you're either he saw you through the window, or you're getting off the train, or...
Okay. Let me think. I have a couple ideas. Okay, now, we haven't introduced Rose yet.
Yeah, she was just mentioned briefly in mine, right. But yeah.
So do we know that she's not in the camp, or can she be on the train?
She can be on the train.
Okay.
If you want her to be.
And what did we say Rose was? She was like a,
She's the Tsar's illegitimate daughter.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me think. Okay. All right, I'm going to throw down this one. I'll be top left corner.
Okay.
3 and 4.
Oh, and who else is in this scene?
We'll say that you guys can be watching the train if you want.
Okay. Respected by the other guards and can read and write. Okay.
So, I'm coming off the train. Since I'm like the head honcho, since you set me up as that. I'm like head of captain of the guard or something. I'm in the front of the train. And as soon as the train stops, basically, like, everybody on it, there's other guards on it, and there's some assorted prisoners and stuff on it. So as soon as the train stops, basically everybody tries to rush towards the front and get out. And, like, it's a clamor to, you know, get their bags and get shit together so they can get out the front as quickly as possible. But I actually yelled a command as people are clamoring. I'm like, stop! And then everybody just freezes. You see the other guards kind of stand and salute, or they stand at attention, yeah. And I'm going to say the lady gets off first. And then I'm going to... And then, I guess, Rose, does anybody want to play her, or should I just narrate?
You can say who plays her, or you can narrate playing.
Well, I can just narrate if you want. Rose is getting off of the train, and she's got, like, she's actually got some bags and other stuff with her, which Nikita offers to carry. And you see she actually has some... As she goes to get her bag down from the train thing, I guess a book falls out of it, and it says, "Oh, I don't know what kind of Russian literature there is at this point, but we'll say it's
Goggle,
Goggle it,
Dead Souls."
Yes.
No, I mean I don't mean Google. I mean. Oh. Goggle, G-O-G-O-L, the author of Dead Souls. Although right. I can see why there would be that mistake.
Yeah, Goggle. Google it. Yeah, okay, so that falls out of her satchel bag. And I scoop it up. And I'm like, missus? And I put it back in the bag. But as I'm putting it back, I sort of open it up and take a look at it, take a peek inside. Without guards seeing me, because I don't want them to know that I'm literate.
Right.
And then I sling her bag over my shoulder, and I go out first, then I help her down off of the train, give her stuff, and then I'll take out a whistle and blow the whistle, and then the guards will basically scramble everybody, all the, you know, prisoners and stuff, to the front of the train where they shove them out, and, you know, they're shoved out with all their belongings or whatever.
Right.
So I've gotten off the train at this point. Where are you guys?
I'm still trying to pretend to work while I'm looking at the train.
Yeah, I'm working near Victor.
Okay.
All right, so what I do add to the scene is I say, like, oh, who's that lady? But she's definitely wearing garbs that indicates that she's not a regular prisoner.
I'm going to smile, almost like half condescendingly at Victor and say, well, I don't know, Victor. I think she may just be just a step above your social station.
Yeah, and then I give a little bit like, what are you talking about?
But, sir, here in Siberia, all men are equals, right? Equally debased.
Okay. I so badly want to just have like a random rim shot just pulled out right there. And anyway, so yeah, I just I ignored that last part. So go ahead, Rudy.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna walk over. No, I saunter over to the place where you guys are working at. And I guess we'll say there's like 5 or 6 other guys there with you. And I shout something in Russian, and the other dudes stand up at attention. Or, you know, they stand up and look up. They're like, meh. And then now do you guys stand up at attention?
Well, I do.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So I go down the line, and basically I'm looking at everybody. I'm like, yeah, you're a piece of shit, yeah. You know, I got that kind of look on my face. And I'm gonna clear my throat. And then say, serfs, you are here to learn how to work. And you will learn how to work. I understand there are some men here who haven't had their hands stained with the soil of our great country, and who do not yet have calluses to mark the fact that they've worked an honest day.
Sir, I was grown from the soil of this great country.
Be quiet, you
My
lot.
My soul is stained with the soil of this great country.
Be quiet, you lot, or you'll be dead souls.
Man, that was actually... That wordplay works in the Russian, too. Yeah, because souls is a term for serf.
Oh, right.
Dead souls, it's dead serfs.
Right,
as addition to being, you know, in the spiritual sense. Okay.
Right. Yeah, so I'm gonna be like, be quiet. You're in luck today because along with the shipment of people, there's come a shipment of glorious rakes, picks, and shovels, which you will use to dig in the dirt.
When he says that, I'm going to give Victor a knowing look, like a I told you so look.
Now then, each man here will introduce himself. First name only, and tell me a little bit about yourself. And I'm going to point to Victor first.
My name is Victor, and I like things.
Be quiet, you lot. I didn't ask what you like.
Well, you asked about myself, so I just wanted to tell you what was about myself. And there you go. I'm a big fan of chocolate.
Chocolate. Well, you'll be getting no chocolate here.
do get chocolate here, it will be only the hard, thick chocolate of the earth, which you will till every day. And I'm going to point to Grigorovich there, your guy, Hank.
My name is Pavel.
Pavel.
And yes, I'm a prisoner of the state, but more importantly, I'm a prisoner of my own conscience.
And what does that mean, exactly?
It means that I'm not here for knifing a merchant or defecating on the wrong side of the street. I'm here because I spoke my mind at an inopportune moment.
Ah. Well, you'll certainly have plenty of opportunity to speak your mind while you're here. Tell me more.
I feel now...
Quiet, you lot! I don't want to hear more. Now he goes down the line and I guess the rest of the dudes introduce myself. Like, I'm Boris, I'm fucking right. Whoever. And you see, he clicks his boots together, spins around on his heels, and walks back towards the guards. And then he starts giving them orders and shit. And I really don't have anything else to add, so I'll call that the end of the scene.
Okay. Well, you definitely pulled rank.
That I did.
I think your number four was done very loosely. Like, there was, like, maybe, like, one mention at best. And you didn't even read it. You just, like, said,
Yeah.
I looked at the book.
Yes, but then he made a reference to the book later.
Right.
An obvious
but that's
reference.
Also because it was an easy thing and you mentioned what the book was. And so it was an easy play in terms of acting, not because he actually knows what the book's about.
Right, but it has implications because he was talking to prisoners who were also literate. And my guy obviously would have not gotten the reference and would have seen the book and would have been like, oh, hey, he can read and write. So I think it did have implications for the way the scene played out.
Yeah. All right.
I would
I'm cool with it. I still believe it was very loose.
Maybe a little loose, but I would give it to him.
It was loose like the diarrhea of a prisoner in the
Okay. So... Oh, and we can also have a yes and or a yes but I guess we're not doing that. So, now, I guess it's my turn to frame a scene again.
Okay.
Actually, what do I have here? What? Okay, I think this one is appropriate. So, for this scene, I think I am going to use all of the player characters. I'm going to pick up pretty much exactly where we left off, except that Nabokov has ordered everyone to start working. He's handed out all the hoes and the shovels and ordered everyone to go directly to work. So I'm going to play this domino, which is a four and a blank. I'm actually going to double down on my four for the blank, Kyle.
Oh, okay.
And I imagine that wouldn't have the same effect as playing an actual double.
See, that's what I was wondering.
Which would be like something major happens. I don't think so, because I don't think the blank... Because then you could really... I guess you could abuse it, right. Yeah. And it has to end in, like, bad luck for my character, basically.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I used a blank. Okay, and my number four is not afraid to work alongside the common man. Okay, so I guess Rose has also been put to work. And she's been put to work almost like she was a male prisoner, I guess. She's been forced to hold the line with everyone else and help everyone else dig. And she looks like she's really trying to keep up with everyone else. Like she doesn't want anyone to think that she doesn't belong there. So she's trying to really dig hard and work hard, and she seems almost too enthusiastic to be working. But it's also clear that she's never really handled a shovel before in her life. She's holding it really awkwardly, and she's not really getting much dirt out as she digs. Okay. And yeah, so we'll open with that. Oh, and I am going to have Rudy play Rose in this scene. I'm going to assign Rose to Rudy. Just because Rudy loves playing female characters.
Okay, I guess I'll be digging. And,
okay.
Oh, actually, I'm going to be digging and my shovel actually breaks. So I just kind of kick the spade part behind me and try to keep digging with the handle.
With the shaft?
Yeah. Like,
I'm going to nudge Victor and say, while I'm digging, while I'm working, and say, it looks like your potential mistress could use a bit of help. Maybe this is your chance to ingratiate yourself, Here, why don't we both give her a hand? Or a foot?
You seem quite eager to help her yourself. Is there something you're not telling me?
No, I just would like to help you. You know, I like to work alongside my common man. No, I mean, hey. We're all brothers here, right? We're all brothers under the fist of the Tsar. And we're all suffering side by side, so we might as well give each other a hand. And maybe someday you give me a hand. Or a foot.
Well, whatever it is, you're taking the fall if they catch us.
So I'm going to go over to Rose and start digging next to her.
Okay. You see, she kind of, she doesn't want to let on that, like, you know, the shovel is broken.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just kind of got it down deep in the dirt, and she's just kind of twisting it around. Like, better work the dirt a little bit so that it'll come up easier.
Are you having some trouble there, ma'am?
No trouble.
No?
No.
You know, my comrade, my brother Victor here, he is an artist with a shovel. He's a master. What is the word I am looking for? He is amazing, is what I'm trying to say. He is a savant with a shovel.
Yeah, for example, let me take a look here and see what you could do better. Because you definitely, you don't look experienced, I must say. I'm sorry to say that, but you don't. So please, hand me your shovel.
Oh. And then she hands you her broken piece of shovel.
Oh, okay. This makes sense. You have a specialty shovel. That's not meant for people like you. It's meant for, you know, for an expert. You know, why don't you take mine instead? And then I'm like a little hesitant to hand it to her because like I know it's broken when she handed it to me. Why don't you take this instead? It might do you a better job. And in fact, I'll show you how to dig properly, or else that guard's not going to take kindly to it. And so I take the broken one. Like, how messed up is it? Is like the scooper like completely gone? Is it like, does it snap off completely?
Yeah, it snapped off before the before the scoop goes in.
Okay. So is there any way that I was able to find it? Like, you just grab that, or do I just have the stick?
Well, I guess you could get on your hands and knees and dig out the spade.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a technique that I've learned in my many years of digging ditches. What you need to do, it's not about how much effort you put into it. It's about how much you can. It's about how much non-effort you can put into digging that really matters, because it'll help your back quite a bit.
Says, oh, so, I wasn't aware
watch
of
this.
That.
Watch this for example. And then so I poke the stick in there, I instantly hit a rock, and so it instantly stops. And so like for this, for example, this would have been terrible if I just, repeatedly just tried and shoved my way in there, being very forceful. It would have been terrible on my back. It would have hurt my arms tremendously over time. But if you just continually beat it repeatedly, as I'm like grunting and like smacking, if you beat it repeatedly. And then, like, you hear, like a crack. It breaks without you breaking much of a sweat. And, like, you see, like, a bead, like, go across my chin.
See? Well, sir, I thank you very much for this lesson in digging. It'll certainly be of use to me as I stay in this camp.
Speaking of it, what brings you here? You don't seem to be the kind of lady who belongs in such a place.
Oh, trouble with my mother.
Is she a stern woman?
Yes, she's very stern.
A hard woman?
She's very hard as well.
I hear some of those Russian peasant women out on the frontier can get tough. Chewy.
Chewy? Well, I'm not sure what you mean by chewy, but she certainly is tough.
You know, they become, like, jerky, basically. Like, well-seasoned meat. Which, by the way, is the only kind of meat you can hope to find here. And then, only on Sundays. Here, let me show you the right posture. And I'm going to try to kind of get behind her and try to, like, manipulate her, like, hold her in my hands and try to guide her how to dig, even though I don't really know how to dig particularly well since I was never trained, so I'm teaching her kind of a bad form. See, so it goes in like that. And it comes up and out, and you just dump it to the side. And I'm guiding her hands while I do this.
Yeah. Okay, well, at this point, you see, what's his name? Nikita has turned around. He's finished giving orders to the guard or whatever. And he turns around and walks back towards you guys to inspect the line again. And he's going down. He started at the opposite end to where you guys are, and he's, like, slowly working his way down. He's, like, he's looking, in fact, he'll, like, stoop down and look at the dirt and, like, put it in his hands and, sniff it. He's really trying to see what's up.
Well, I guess I don't see him coming until the very last minute. And then when I see him, I quickly, like, jerk off of Rose, like, jerk away from her, because I don't think he's going to want me, like, basically fondling her while I'm supposed to be digging. And when I do that, I forget to take my hand off of the shovel, so I pull the shovel back with me and pull it out of her hand. And in the process, I knock her to the ground, and then I swing around, and I hit Nikita in the face accidentally with the front of the shovel.
Okay. So, yeah, he was in the process of
of bending down looking at some soil or something. And he basically gets hit square in the fucking face. And he goes down pretty hard. He falls and like his, what do they call those caps that they wear? His Russian hat comes off.
I am going to very quickly drop the shovel next to where I dropped Rose, and then I'm going to run over to Nikita and kneel down and try to, like, help him up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you see, he kind of pushes you away.
Excuse me.
And he sits up. And he tries to survey around to kind of see, because he didn't see exactly who did it. So he's trying to see, like, who it was that that fucked him up. And you see, as he looks over, he looks and sees the broken shovel. And, you see, he goes over and, he goes over to Rose. Says, is this your shovel? And she kind of looks at you and she's like, she starts to say something.
Before she can answer, I'm going to say, no. No, it's my shovel.
Oh.
I was digging and I hit a rock of tremendous size.
How big was this rock?
It was at least the size of Leviathan. Except buried in the earth instead of the ocean.
Ah.
But I didn't give up. I sunk my shovel beneath this whale of a rock. And I pried and I dug. And all was going well until, until my, the shovel became lodged under the rock, and in my attempt to get it loose, it broke, and I was thrown back with such force that I must have collided with you, good sir.
Collided with my face, you mean?
Well, whatever part of your anatomy I collided with.
You see, he shakes his head, and he bends down and picks up the shovel, the stick part of it. And you see, he comes over to you and gets in your face, and gets inside your personal space really a lot.
Right.
And he gets closer and closer, and he takes the he goes to hand you the shovel, the end of the shovel.
Right.
But, do you grab it, or?
Yeah, I'll take the hand. If he offers it to me, I'll take
it. Yeah, he offers it to you. But you see that you notice that his hand is still on it, and he's still got hold of it.
Well, not to tell you how to do your job, Officer Nabokov, but it will be awfully difficult for me to dig with your hand still there.
Will it?
Yes, quite. exceptionally difficult.
You see, he snatches the shovel part out of your hand.
Oh.
And breaks it over his knee.
Well, that won't make it any easier.
Why do you so wantonly destroy the Tsar's property?
Well, I think an argument could be made that the Tsar, by taking my house and my family and my freedom away from me, has not been too kind to my property. And you know that the right to your own property is one of the cardinal rights, one of the most important rights, according to the only relevant current political philosophers.
Is that so?
Yes. And you, as a literary man, as a man of words, must know that.
That'll be enough, you lot. And you see, he hands you another. He motions for a guard to come over and bring a shovel, and he hands you. He hands off one to him, and then he hands that to you.
Okay. He's like,
be a little more careful next time.
Okay. I think that's a good place to end this scene.
Yeah.
Do I get my points? What did I do? Not afraid to work
on not afraid to... I'd say so, yeah.
Swingle? Still asleep?
No, I'm still here.
You're...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely working next to the common man and whatnot.
Yeah. And I went out of my way to help Rose.
Yeah.
I don't see the effort that made it to where it was a negative, not afraid to work.
Well, the negative was, the negative consequences for me was when I hit the guard in the face.
I know, it's just that it's not really working with the common man. It's more like you flubbed up.
Yeah. And then, I also took the fall for Rose when she could have been the one who got it. Well, I took the fall for my own fuck up instead of letting Rose take the fall for it.
It's just the way you have that number four worded. It doesn't really match. I don't feel like it really matches with what happened. Yeah, in terms of the negative part.
What does it say?
It says not afraid to work along the common man, alongside the common man.
Oh, I'm looking.
In the manual.
Because there was an accident that happened, that was your own fault.
If the domino being played has a blank, it's treated as a wild card or a random event, but it's always narrated as a failure, and the player character may even end up being hurt. So it doesn't say that, like, the failure has to be directly 100% related to me not being afraid to work alongside the common man. Although, in this case, I would think it would be, because it was while he was working alongside, you know, it was him trying to work along with Rose that resulted directly in him, in what happened.
But do you at least get what I'm trying to say here? It's kind of like you saying, oh, I totally worked with the common man. It was a negative experience when that meteorite hit me.
Well, except
as in it's
that,
kind of related, but not really.
Well, maybe. Rudy.
I was going to say it's basically related in that he almost took the fall. Well, he basically did take the fall for Rose. And that's kind of like in the spirit of the common man, I guess. You know, like, we're all brothers here, that kind of shit.
Right, exactly. And I took the fall for something that occurred while I was working with my common man as a result of my work. You
right.
know, because it wasn't like he was hit with a meteorite. He was hit with the shovel that I was digging with while I was working. So,
It
seems pretty, the correlation there, the relationship there seems pretty direct to me. But it is...
I don't know. What do you think, Alex? I'd give it to him.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
Why not?
I stalled 50-50.
I really don't see how the relationship could be any more direct than that, frankly. I think Alex is just withholding to be a dick.
No, I really believe that it wasn't really that well placed.
I mean,
all because
I
I'm smiling and somewhat laughing does not mean I'm trolling for lols.
Not necessarily. But I don't see how it could have been any more directly related.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was fairly...
Well, that's because you are so blindly attached to your lie of trying to get this to work for you that you can't see how much you fucked up.
If this was a workplace injury, I would totally be eligible for workman's comp.
It's too bad there's no labor rights in Russia right now.
What I'm saying is that the injury that happened is so directly related to my work that
work-related.
Right, it's work-related.
So wait, are we required to have everyone agree with this, or in order to get, can't you keep your thing? Fuck, fine, you keep it.
There has to be. I mean, the thing is, there has to. It's a majority vote, right? So I don't get to vote because it was my seat. So there's only two people.
All right. From now on, I'll agree to every single scene you make, because the last this scene of the scene beforehand, I did not agree with the negative. Well, at least with one of them, but. In order to move this along, because I can debate for like hours on this.
That's true. I mean, if Rudy had agreed with you, I wouldn't have gotten the point flat out, you know. But Rudy thought I earned the point. So anyway, it's your turn, Alex. Unless someone wants to add a yes and or a yes but to my scene.
I can't really think of anything, honestly.
Yeah, all I know is I really want to play my double blanks right now.
Just fucking... Man, don't tell us that. Now it won't be a surprise at the end of the game.
Well, it'll be a surprise when I play it. Let's see.
I'm holding on to my own surprises.
Okay.
But I'm just full of surprises.
Let's see here. All right. There we go. I put a 5 and a 6, where I have apathy and I become hostile at the slightest of things.
Oh, damn. All
right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to include Will and Rudy and the lady in this scene. And it comes right after Will... claims that, you know, he was responsible, you know, he took the blame for the whole thing, you know, that kind of stuff. And what I'm going to do, let's see here. How can I word this right? Alright, so I'm going to say he did not do it on accident. He hit you for a reason. Officer Nabokov. And I will not stand for him lying to you like this.
He's gonna slowly stand and walk over to you. And he does that thing where he invades your personal space. he gets up all in your business. And he's like, "Did you say something?"
Yes, I did. I'm saying he's lying to you.
Quiet, fuck. I didn't ask you to say anything. Now, you serfs will get back to work.
All right, and so in response, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that the shovel, the one that's been broken off, and I'm going to strike him in the back.
Okay, yeah, he's like turned around and he's going to walk away. he gets hit in the back. And, I want to do something, but I'm not sure if it's too.
Who's playing Rose, Alex? Who did you assign to play Rose?
You know, Will, you play Rose, because Rue's going to be guardsman this time.
Okay. Rose has just managed now to struggle to her feet. And she's just standing there watching, awestruck.
How big was the piece of stick that you hit him with?
It's the circumference of a normal shovel, so it's pretty huge.
Yeah, it's a big piece
of
stick.
It's like a battle staff, if you want to do D&D style.
Okay. Alright. I'm going to do this since this dude is basically over the top already. And I'm just going to put it further over the top by saying... when you hit him with the, do you really wind back real good and give him a good, like, fall chuck in, or?
Well, basically, it knocks him on his ass. That's how hard I put into it. Like, I'm really pissed. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, it does knock him on his ass, but the stick breaks again.
Okay.
And you see, he's kind of knocked down to one knee. and he gets up, and he doesn't turn around, he just keeps walking.
You see Rose gasps a little bit.
You see one of, like, Baris or somebody pisses themselves.
All right, so I throw down the rest of the broken shovel there, and then I say to him, you know, I don't give a frack anymore about you and your political nonsense inside this prison. You know, do your job and do it right.
Who, is he talking to me, or is he talking
to the guards?
Okay, so he doesn't say anything. He just keeps walking, and you see his hat was knocked to the side a little bit, and he readjusts his hat. Oh, no problem. Go ahead.
Pavel is going to go over and put his hand on Victor's shoulder and say, Victor, you might want to be a little careful about what you say. I know you're angry, but, you know, restraint is a virtue. A virtue that might save your life right now.
All right, and then what I do is I grip I grip Pavel's shirt there, and I said, what you would have done would have gave me at least 50 lashes on the stand, and yet you got a pass for it.
No one said the Tsar's state is fair or just.
Who are you that doesn't deserve the beating that they're supposed to get, huh?
None of us deserve the beating that we've been given, Victor. I know this. You, whatever beating you feel the Tsar has given you, you feel the state has given you, you feel Officer Nabokov has given you, you did not deserve it. But, I hate to tell you this, but the beating you are about to receive, you will deserve.
Yeah, so, okay, go ahead.
The last part of it is I will go ahead and punch Pavel in the face, and then I'll walk away.
Yeah, I take a good beating in the face. In fact, he bloodies my lip, and there's just blood running down the bottom of my face. And I kind of, you know, gurgle it and spit it out, but I don't say anything.
Yeah.
I look pretty hurt, emotionally.
At this point, Nikita comes back, and he's got a rifle slung over his shoulder. And he sees that you've gone, Alex, and he's like, it seems we're missing one. And it seems another one has taken a fall.
I'm going to wipe the blood off my mouth, but I'm not going to say anything.
You see, he reaches down and gives, like, to give you a hand up.
I'm going to take his hand.
He grabs your arm, twists it around, then throws you back like a couple feet onto the ground again.
You see Rose runs over to him and she's like, no, wait, why are you doing this? He didn't do anything.
He goes, well, missus, discipline in these camps is of the highest importance, and discipline is my specialty.
Pavel, like, starts to try to get up, and then he can't do it, though, and he falls back on one knee. So he kind of looks over his shoulder at Rose, who says, ma'am, don't worry about it. I'm PT. I'm persevering. I'm fine. No, why did you do that to him? He didn't do anything to you. It was the other man that hit you. Is this how things work here?
Basically, yes.
Are you that brutal? That awful? Why would you do that? He's an innocent man.
No, I'm just trying to do my job. Everyone here must do their job.
Your job is to just beat random innocent people?
Yes.
That's what he pays you to do? That's what my father pays you to do?
You see, he looks at you, or he looks at Rose, and he's like, he gets that kind of oh shit look on his face, and he quickly snaps to attention and clicks his boots.
And you see Rose is like, and she like covers her mouth and runs away. Like, oh shit, I shouldn't have said it that. And you see Pavel watches her leave with kind of an ambiguous look on his face.
Alright, yeah, so Nikita takes off, and after she's out of his sight, I guess, he goes over to, like, the other guards and starts, like, you know, telling them, like, holy shit, like, not Zarius, but I guess Princess, or...
Yeah, Princess, because there's Princess Anastasia, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But yeah, well, he starts telling them that, like, the princess is here, and holy shit, and like, whoa.
Holy shit, and whoa.
And
yeah,
and like, he's forgotten about Victor at this point, because he was gonna go after Victor with a gun, but now he's just kind of forgotten about it, because he's like, holy fuck. We might have a situation on our hands.
All right, I think we're good.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I think you should get your points. I think that there was definitely apathy, and your hostility at the slightest things was definitely there.
Yeah. Just the way you switched it from, like, apathetic to, like, I'm gonna punch this guy in the face was pretty low. So
right. And then back to apathetic. Like, I don't
give
a... Yeah,
then back to, like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't care if he beats me or shoots me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd say you worked it in.
Yep.
Alright.
Work it.
So there we go.
Doggy dog.
Alright. So, okay, I think I know what to do. Alright, I'm gonna flash forward in time, if that's cool with everybody.
Sure.
To a nighttime scene. And I guess Rose has run off, and, like, they don't know where the fuck she is. And, I'm gonna drop this one, her. A 3 and a 6.
Is respected by the other guards and is self-conscious about his bedwetting, of course. Yeah,
that's why we need a nighttime scene. But basically, you see, I guess I'm going to do a quick scene, so I'll just do this one alone real quick.
Okay.
Basically, dude comes back to the guard barracks, and he's like, and I don't want you to stop until she's found. And then the other guard kind of stiffens up and then takes off to wherever. And you see he looks... All the guards have cleared out of the barracks because he's cleared them out. And, you know, to go find Rose. And you see he looks around to make sure everybody's gone. And then he goes and lies down in his bunk or his rack or whatever. And he pulls his, he starts to pull his, like, standard issue gulag cover over him. But, seeing that everybody else has gone, he reaches underneath his rack and pulls out this blue quilt, which is obviously, and it's obviously, like, too small for him, so it's probably, like, a baby's quilt, or, like, the quilt he had when he was a kid.
Right.
And you see, he puts that on, and he starts to put it on over the standard issue one, but then he's like, oh, shit, and then he takes it off, and then he puts that underneath the, you know, the regular
one.
Right.
And he starts to fall asleep. And we will say, after he's been asleep for like a few minutes, a guard comes and bangs on the door, but he doesn't hear him. And he's kind of turning and tossing in his bed. And so the guard's like, sir? Sir? And he's like, he says, he kind of mumbles something in his sleep, but he doesn't wake up. And the guard like peeks, tries to peek the door, you know, he tries to peek in through the door or whatever. And he sees that Nikita's sleeping. And he starts to walk over towards him. Now, camera flash to the blanket, which is now a little bit moist. So dude is walking over to him. And you see he clicks his boots, and that wakes up Nikita, who grabs him by the neck and throws him to the ground. He's like, oh sorry, nervous habit. And you see his eyes kind of go wide when he notices that his blanket has been pissed. And he's like, what are you doing here? And the guy says, we haven't been able to find her, sir. We've looked all throughout the camp. And he says, well, look harder. And you see the guard, he's getting up from the ground, and his eye catches the blanket, the wet blanket, I guess. And he kind of gives Nikita a look like, what? And you see Nikita kicks the blanket under the rack. And he says, I've been drinking too much vodka tonight. You should probably go now. And the guy leaves. And you see he takes a swig of some vodka that was next to the bed. He like openly takes a swig while the guy is there. Right. And motions for him to leave. And then he sighs with relief. He goes, oh boy. And I'll call that the end of the scene.
I feel like we need to add a yes and or a yes but.
Yeah, it's about time to use that, I guess.
I would say yes, but as soon as he's out of earshot, the guard goes and finds his fellow guards and starts gossiping about the fact that Nikita pissed the bed. And how this plus his outburst earlier today shows that he's beginning to lose his cool and beginning to lose his control over the situation. And then it's only a matter of time before Zara removes him and replaces him with a more qualified man with real self-control. But yeah. Alex has to agree to that, yes, but.
Of course I agree with that, yes, but.
Okay. So, Rudy had... well, obviously the self-conscious about his bedwetting thing. And the respect he had with the other guards came into play, too. Since it was directly about his relationship with the other guard. The guard who was below him. So I think I did.
Alex?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right.
Alright. Okay. So it's my scene now, right?
Yep. Okay.
So we'll say that this scene takes place at... it's still at night. In fact, it's parallel to the other scene. It's just after Nikita... told the other guards to go look for Rose, and then excused himself to go back to his room. And as soon as the guards are gone, Pavel. Oh, and I'm going to use 5 and a 3. 5 is craves attention and approval, and 3 is highly informed about contemporary thought and popular opinion. So I'm going to use those 2, and as soon as the guards are gone, Pavel sneaks out of his bunk and sneaks over to Victor's bunk and kind of shakes him. And Victor's in this scene, but
Nikita
is not. Yes, right.
I'm sorry for interrupting that, but go ahead. It was something I missed.
Okay. Oh, Pavel just knocked to your bunk and started to shake you to try to wake you up.
Okay, well, as you can tell, I struggled to wake up. And it sounds like I'm muttering in my sleep about the dog, you know, save the dog, you know. don't throw that away, you know, that kind of thing. and then Victor. I finally wake up.
Victor.
What? Oh, it's you.
You and I. What do you say if we go for a walk tonight?
Well, first, I say, hold on. I just want to make sure you're aware. I'm sorry for punching you. That wasn't the only thing that was on my mind.
Yeah, I'm over it. It's I can understand you were under duress. And I need someone to come with me tonight. I don't want to go alone.
What are you looking for?
Not what? Who? Rose. She's still out there. Alone.
How can they not find her? That's...
They haven't found her yet. That means it's our opportunity to find her.
Oh, you got... You have some real gump there, trying to sneak around this whole place while we're under curfew just to try and find some broad.
Some broad? Did you hear what she said?
No, I walked away, remember?
She said the Tsar was her father. Now, normally, I would be skeptical, of course. I mean, she could be a lunatic, right? She could just be insane.
Yeah.
But I've heard and read things about the Tsar having an illegitimate daughter. I have friends in St. Petersburg. They send me correspondence, and it was the talk of last winter that about a 15-year-old girl... Everyone said the Tsar was keeping locked up in a very, very nice flat in St. Petersburg, and how she would show up at balls and parties and operas and places where you wouldn't expect to see just any old 15-year-old girl. And boy, didn't she ever have the Tsar's nose and eyes and his fine hair. And she walks with just a little bit of a limp. You know, congenital things that everyone in the Tsar's family has. And all that inbreeding. And did you see Rose today when she was struggling to lift that shovel?
I'm going to cut him off then. And I said, okay, I get it. You like her. We'll go get her.
I like her. No, I think you like her. I mean, I like to be liked. Don't get me wrong. But I want to find her. Because if she's the Tsar's daughter, well, wouldn't you want to be her friend too?
You know what? When you're right, you're right. Right now, you're not really that right. But I will go with you.
Good, good. I need a friend to come with me. So I'm going to sneak out of the bunkhouse or whatever into the cold Siberian night and bundle up as best I can. I'll take my blanket with me. And I guess find some sticks or something and make a torch and, like, rip one of the leg, rip part of a pant leg off and use it to, you know, for the part of the torch that you light.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go out into the dark, try to find her. And we'll say Rudy can play Rose this time, since Rudy doesn't have a character for this scene.
Okay, so Rose is out somewhere in the Russian wilderness, I guess. I mean, what is there in Siberia? It's basically like little scrub trees, and yeah. There's not much like brush, is there?
Yeah, like...
Well, actually, there's quite a few trees. It all depends on which location you're in. There's like huge forests in Russia.
Oh, okay.
It's a tundra, and tundra is like Alaska, where there's big pockets of just huge amounts of trees, but there's also, like, majority of it is just flatlands.
Oh, okay. We'll say she's wandered into the forest, then.
Okay.
And, she's kind of wandering through the woods, and she trips over something. And, as the camera pans to it, or whatevs, it's the body of Random Surf, who has been killed, and either hastily buried there, or just he died there, and nobody found him, or nobody
maybe cared. They shoveled some snow over
him. Yeah. You see, she gasps when she sees that.
Okay.
And then she gets up and she starts walking faster now through the woods.
Okay.
I will say there's the sound of wolves.
Of course, sir. Meanwhile, Pavel and Victor are out in the woods, but not in the same place yet. Not too close to her.
Do you hear the wolves?
Don't hear them yet.
Okay.
Pavel turns, so, Victor, you are a man without a last name. You're a man without a patronym. You're a man without a father? Now, there aren't many men walking around with no father. I mean, even our Lord and Savior had a father.
Well, you know, Pavel... There are some moments in life where it's not that you don't have a last name. It's you don't want to say what your last name is. Because did you even know about what crime I supposedly committed?
No, I didn't. Although that's what friends are for, right? Why don't you vent? Why don't you share it?
Well, the reason why I don't share my last name is because I was framed for forging papers.
Papers?
Specific kinds of papers that will, let's say, claim I am something that I am not.
A will?
No, claiming that I am something I am not. Something, well, let's just say, better than even you.
You mean a right of inheritance? You mean record of your birth? Record of your birth family?
Exactly. And so I prefer not to say my last name ever, because number one, if I just go around saying who my family is, it puts them on the map.
Because I would recognize the name, maybe.
Well, no, it's not that. You would instantly know who I'm talking about if I said my last name, but it's...
Well, I do know all
you would
of
do,
the...
You would do the nice thing and do nothing about it. But there are others who are not so nice.
And who would do something about it.
Yes. Do you have any family? Any ones you love?
I have to admit I'm a bachelor. my father, Grigory, is gone to the next world. My passion has always been politics, not family. Not that I don't appreciate a woman or, you know, or a friend as much as anyone else. Not that I'm not someone who likes to be lonely, but I guess I never got around to having a family, and then I got exiled here and this lonely, barren stretch of wasteland. You know, it's hard to settle down in Siberia.
Well,
as much as Zara would like us to.
I understand completely, but just think of it as that kind of situation. So that's why I don't like to share my last name.
Well, know that you have a friend in me, and if you ever need to open up, if you ever have to, well, I'm the man to open up too.
Alright.
Are those wolves? Do you hear that?
I was afraid of that. It means they're about to strike.
Us?
No. As you can hear it, they're too far away. Usually, they would be much louder if they were coming after us. They would be that much closer. And then, you know, my eyes widen and I start running faster. They're going after the girl.
Oh, hell. And I'm going to take off running after you. And then I'm going to trip over something and my torch drops and I drop out of sight. And we'll actually end the scene there, I think.
Yeah, that's okay.
So, 5 and 3. Craves attention and approval and highly informed about contemporary thought and popular opinion.
I agree with 3, definitely.
I'm leaning towards yes on 5 as well.
Yeah, because he kind of tried to, like, sort of manipulate Victor into, like, spilling the beans on whatever it was that he was keeping a secret.
Yeah, and getting buddy-buddy with him. Yeah, and he also kind of went on about how he didn't really have anyone at home and how he was lonely, basically, although he didn't.
Right, yeah. He was a little clingy.
Yes. All right. Any yes ends or yes buts? Or do you have to...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, the only thing I would say yes and is you eventually follow me still. You're not completely gone.
No, I'm not completely gone.
Yes. Good. And that's it. That's all I would add.
So it's... Alex, it's your turn.
Yes, it is.
In the woods, alone.
All right. I will drop the 2 and the 6, which means I have the everyone deserves a second chance and becomes hostile at the slightest of things.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's a deadly combination.
And Rose is definitely going to be there. Even though they're not related, the dogs are also there as well, the wolves. And let's say... Will shows up near the end of it.
Okay,
and there we go. So what happens is, I'm running almost like in a frantic pace. Like, I gotta get to the sound. Gotta get there soon, or else Rose is probably a dead lady. And so I'm running, and then the wolves stop howling. Which is a terrible sign, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they stop while I'm in the middle of the forest there. And this is when I stumble upon Rose. Rudy, you describe what's happening with Rose right now.
Okay, she's halfway up a tree, and the wolves are basically gathered around the bottom of the tree, like, waiting for her to drop off. You see, she's kind of holding onto a branch, but precariously, she doesn't really have a good position in the tree.
Okay.
And, she's basically, like, she's screaming, like, help, help, help.
All right, so here's what I do. I notice she does not have her shoes on. And and then after that, I see off to the side, like behind some of the wolves, I see one of her shoes, and it has several bite marks in it. And so I become furious that they ripped apart her shoes.
It becomes hostile at the slightest of things.
And so what I do is I look for a random, like, you know, hefty log, you know, like a branch, and I start to make my way towards the dogs, you know, to the wolves, and I say, you know, get back, you foul beasts, or I will murder every single one of you.
Damn you, that was Versace.
All right, and that's all I can really describe. Like, you know, the wolves are, you know, what are the wolves doing? Well, you'll be in charge of that.
The wolves are hungry as shit. There's about six of them there, and two of them stay by the tree. And, you know, wolves can't climb trees, so they're just kind of pacing around the tree waiting for it to fall. And the other three, well, we'll say three of them then split off and head towards you because you're a meal that isn't up in a tree.
Yes.
Yeah. And you see the alpha wolf is just kind of standing there. He's kind of looking back and forth, pacing back and forth. And then suddenly he takes off and he runs off into the woods alone.
Okay. And let's see, here's what I will do, because, like, that would almost be perfect to end it right there, but we need to add, like, one more piece. The dogs are coming, towards me, and they're circling around, you know, they're setting up their ranks, they're 6 o'clock, you know, 10 o'clock, you know, kind of styles, and what I'm doing is I'm almost not even paying attention to, like, them circling me. I'm just getting closer and closer to Rose, you know, to the tree. As in, like, I am just going to beat the shit out of the first thing that's in reach. And I'm not going to try and chase the ones that are, like, you know, trying to, you know, get ready to do, like, some sneak attack stuff on me.
Right.
Yes. And so as I'm getting closer, that's when, Pavel comes into the scene, and one of the dogs is getting ready to make the charge against me. At least he's like, right near your section.
Okay. Okay, so we will say... we'll say that, yeah, one of the wolves was, like, crouched down, and and your back was turned to it because you're trying to get to the tree and get to, Rose. And you hear the wolf growl right behind you, and it's pulled back on its hind legs. Well, it's pulled, you know, it's arching its back, and it's getting ready to pounce, and then, bam, a shovel. Well, not a shovel, but the shaft of a shovel comes down on its head.
Yes.
And Pavel is standing there, and he has the dead body from before, which is what he tripped on. And he's dragged it out here. And you see he kind of awkwardly hoists the body over his back, and then he throws it into the center of the wolves. And then he turns to Victor. Well, he sort of Wait, Victor, you're by. Have you taken Rose out of the tree yet?
No, I'm getting next to where the two wolves are. I mean, I haven't, you know, that are guarding the tree.
Right.
This is a surprise, you showing up. That's the whole point.
Okay. Well, then he turns to Victor and he says, I would hurry if I were you.
I turn back, I see Pavel, as I see the wolf on the ground. I say, oh, Pavel, I always knew you would come back for me.
Well, in all honesty, I came back for the girl. But you're a bonus.
Right. and then I head for the two wolves. And I think that would be a good enough breaker for the scene.
Okay. Well, you certainly got angry, became hostile at the slightest.
Yes. First shoe.
And everyone deserves a second chance. It makes sense because you tried to save Rose and give her a second chance at life.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yep.
All right, so
I can't
Rudy.
Think of any yes buts or anything. So.
Well, if you want to add anything, go ahead. You know, do it.
Oh no, I don't really have anything.
Ooh, actually, I have a yes but to add.
Oh, cool.
Yes, but the alpha wolf who went back into the woods was actually tracking Pavel, and now he comes running out of the wolves and. The wolves. Yes, out of another wolf. He comes running out of the woods and he tackles Pavel from behind and knocks him to the ground.
Oh no!
No!
Oh yeah, I agree with that, sure. You know, add that to the scene.
Okay. Rudy, your go.
Okay, so, I'm gonna throw down this one. A 2 and a 4, which is one strong Malchik and can read and write. Right. So, at this point, Nikita has woken up. And, he's basically, he's hidden his soiled blanket and all of that shit. And he reaches into his desk, where he keeps his vodka and other necessities. And he removes a letter, which he opens, and it's been opened before, but he reopens it and he reads it again. And then he, now, at this point in history, would they have had a telegraph or anything like that? A wire telegraph, that is.
Let me see.
Because Wikipedia says they would have had something called a semaphore line, which is an optical telegraph, but it doesn't say...
Oh, yeah. So they wouldn't have a wireless telegraph.
No, a wired one.
They would. They could have a wired one, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Samuel F.B. Morse invented the telegraph in 1837. Now, whether or not there would be a telegraph line running from, say, St. Petersburg to a Siberian gulag is questionable.
Right.
But...
Well, it could have been a letter from a nearby station that had the telegraph.
Right. Right, they might have and they might even have one station at the gulag or nearby, like Alex said, just so that the commanding officers and stuff can get news from St. Petersburg.
Right, okay, that's what I was hoping for. So, carrying the letter, he goes to this semi-secret telegraph location. Mm-hmm. Which is actually not a secret at all. It's just a shack and over by like where they store the food or something. And it has a big sign on the front that says telegraph, so only he can read it. So everybody else just thought it was like, you know, more food storage or more shovels or something. So he opens up the door and he sits down to the telegraph and he starts to hash out a message on it. And you see, he stops to think for a second. And then you see a guard, one of the other guards, comes back and is kind of, he's looking around, he's like, sir, commander. And then he says, yes, I'm in here. And he comes into the telegraph office and salutes and everything like that. And he's like, we still can't find her, but one of the men has a trail. It leads into the woods. Two of the prisoners are gone, too. And he's like, what? And basically he's like, okay, well, get out of here and go find them. Don't come back until you found me. And you see he sits down in front of the telegraph and kind of sighs. He looks down at the letter again. And he starts to type again on the telegraph. Or not type, but, you know,
right.
Ding, 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 on the telegraph. And I'm trying to think what else I need to say. I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, okay. The only thing I need
to
know,
that's it. Short scene.
Is what the hell is a Mao chick?
A Mao chick is, it's from Clockwork Orange. It's like, I think it's like a dude, basically.
Of course you would do that.
It's a dude. I mean, yeah, one strong Mao chick. It's basically like, yeah. I don't, yeah. Well, I'll let you guys decide. But...
Like, I mean,
okay.
He definitely did the read and write thing because, you know, he read the telegraph and then he even knew more than just how to read and write. He knew how to use a telegraph and punch it back towards him.
Right.
So that one's clear.
Yeah, I mean, the one tough dude one is a little, I'm ambivalent about it. I mean, yeah, he was like a hard dude when he was talking to the, other officer there, like, yeah, I'm on top of my game, yeah. Like, yeah, you know, take care of business. Yeah. There was some mystery to the scene, which kind of adds to his mystique and shit. But I'm on the fence about whether or not you delivered on that point. I don't know, what do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, I didn't think he really delivered the macho style that he was going for with number two.
Well, he seemed macho, but I mean, I don't know that he seemed tough. Like, yeah, I think of that. That's like, you know, wrestling bears and shit.
Yeah.
And it didn't really seem like a bear wrestling scene. So I will give you half of it. We'll give you the four, but not the two, or whichever it is.
How do we signify that?
I think you
just write it down. Just,
yeah, I'll just write it down.
Remember that you didn't get the two, yeah. Oh boy, so it's my scene now. Shit. well, it's just what I'm holding on to and the situation that we're in.
Follow your heart, Will. Follow your heart.
Well,
use the force.
Okay, I just need to read something. Okay. Double twos. Two being has an encyclopedic knowledge of political theory.
Oh, wow.
That'll be great to see you pull this out of your ass.
This is going to have a significant influence on the scene. So we'll say that Pavel is on the ground and the alpha wolf is over him, menacing him. Alex? You, obviously, Victor is still in the scene, up in the tree with Rose.
Bow chicka bow wow.
And I'm going to give Rose to Alex this time, since he doesn't play tree. And I am also going to say, Rudy, you have control over that battalion of the guards that was sent out, and they're on the trail, and they could arrive at any minute.
Okay.
Okay. So I am pinned under the wall. And I have my... And the shovel has been knocked out of my hands. And, Alex, what are you doing? I need to look something up.
All right, so what I am doing is I am basically I'm holding my ground for a few moments, you know, trying to slap any of the wolves as they, you know, try to get near me. You know, and, you know, Rose is still up in the tree, but this time I helped prop her up all the way so she's completely safe. And I see you're now in trouble, and so I'm hesitant to instantly come for you because... I'm not fully sure if she's safe enough. So something has to push me a little further to make me want to go rush out and help you.
Okay. Well, while I'm in my state of panic, my mind is going to flash back to my extensive amount of time spent reading political theory. Oh, shit, wait, I have to make sure that this is written... Oh, yeah, that was published in 1651. I'm good to go. And I'm going to remember the time I spent reading all of Leviathan by Thomas Hobbes. And all of the stuff about, like, the, you know, harsh, brutish, short lives that people live in the state of nature. And how, you know, the necessity of government in order to, like, regulate the state of nature.
Nasty, brutish, and short.
Yes, exactly. Nasty, brutish, and short. And I'm going to use that dystopian perspective to try to kind of find inner resolve, like to find inner clarity. Like, oh, that's what's happening, you know? This is the state of nature. Man eats man, beast eats man.
Oh, wow, awesome.
And I'm going to use that to find an inner reserve of strength that I didn't know I had. And I'm going to pull my fist back, and I'm going to punch the alpha wolf in the nose. And then I'm going to give him a real hard shove, like I'm shoving him off me. And then I'm going to try to, like, menace him, like, try to pull rank, I guess, like, be the alpha myself. So I'm like standing over him, like growling, and I'm trying to make myself look as big as I possibly can, which is hard because my guy isn't a very big man.
Alright, so what happens is Rose then responds, like, you know, Victor, help him. Because, like, you know, she does not believe that Pavel will continue the that mindset for long. Of like, yeah, I'm going to totally do this, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so she eggs me on to, you know, to do the right thing and go after him. And so emboldened by her praise, I then set out to come to your aid. And so what I do in response is I, like, you know, one of the wolves is finally had enough and just tries to lunge for my throat. And so what I do is I take the stick, and as it lunges, I, like, jab as hard as I can, like, at its chest, and then it doesn't pierce. But what it does is it hits, you know, it collides, and then the wolf lands on its back and skids right behind me, you know, and, like, cries out, like, you know, like a high pitch, like, you know, like a whine, like, you know, in pain. but I'm just keep trekking forward. I didn't even flinch at, like, how hard I hit the dog, like, you know, it's that kind of thing. And then I just keep, you know, running, you know, trudging forward, and now all the other dogs are, like, you know, all the other wolves are, like, you know, backed away because, like, they know, like, I mean business now. And so now both of us are, you know, I'm, like, right behind you, like, maybe, like, a foot or two away. And then I say to you, Pavel, looks like you need a bit of help.
as he says that, I'm going to use the opportunity to, like, make a running jump for my shovel. And I'm going to pick it up off the ground, and I'm going to... And when the alpha wolf runs for me, I'm going to swing it around like I swung it on Nikita, and I'm going to just bash the alpha wolf in the face with the shaft of the shovel, and then I'm going to say, run, you fools.
Why, you fools?
No, I'm going to say, run, and then I'm going to take off running away from the wolves.
Yeah, okay.
He just makes a run for it.
Yeah, and hopefully Rose and Victor will follow.
Rose is up in the tree, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, I thought you got her down from the tree.
Oh no, I kept her up there so that way she would be safe while we took care of this mess.
Oh, well then in that case.
Oh no, you did it anyways. You did it.
No, it's my secret. It's my scene, brah. In that case, I'm going to run over to the tree and basically grab her like by the leg and yank her down from the tree, and then like grab her by the arm and all but drag her behind me, saying, run!
All right, so I'm still going to be with the wolf, though.
Okay. I have something planned. I'm just waiting for the most dramatic possible moment to do it.
And I'm going to run pretty much directly in the direction of the guards, although I don't know that they're headed this way.
Oh, okay. That should work out, obviously.
Okay.
So what are you doing with the wolf, Alex?
Well, we're just head-to-head facing each other, and I'm, you know, like... The other wolves are respecting the fight, as if, like, this is, like, a matchup.
Yes!
Of, like, if whoever kills each other, it will still be the head wolf. Okay, so there you go. That's what's going on. But it's still Will's highlight. So, but that's what I was doing.
Okay. Well, I'm still running, and I'm waiting for the guards to... Well, I guess the wolves are there. I guess the wolves begin to regroup. And they begin to surround Victor. Like, they just want one meal. Like, maybe they won't get three meals, but if they can get one good meal out of this, still a good deal for them.
Okay.
Okay, so in the distance, you can hear barking. It doesn't sound like wolves, though. It sounds like, basically, dogs. And you can hear it too, Hank, because you're running right towards it.
Okay.
And before you can see anything, somebody fires one of their rifles into the air. And I guess, what do the wolves do in response to that?
The wolves take the fuck off.
Oh, okay.
They know what a rifle
is. No, they don't take off.
Yes, okay. They do. They're gone. They took the fuck off.
They left. All right. So,
One of them, like, looks back at Victor grudgingly, like, damn, he would have made a nice meal. I guess the alpha kind of hangs around for a little bit and then takes off.
No, you fucking, you're a piece of shit.
Dude, I was trying to set up something, like, epic, but it didn't really work out.
Oh, well, you should have told me. Did you not want the wolves to run off?
Well, if all the wolves can run off but the big alpha.
Okay, the alpha sticks around.
And they're still, like, locked in combat.
Okay. All right. That's good. Oh, the other five wolves take off, but the alpha wolf hangs around because he really wants... Like, he's been threatened. He's been challenged by Victor.
Yes.
He's not
That's what
back
I was
down.
Going for, Will. I was like, fuck, okay. Why are you doing this? Okay.
All right. So narrate your fight with the wolf, because I have a very specific thing that I want to end.
But okay. Dude, we've done enough of it to end that part of the scene, because that's now we're getting to the climax.
Okay.
Well, I decide when the scene ends, and I'm gonna let this play out until Goody does what he wants to do.
All right. Well, then I'm not gonna add anything.
Okay. Alex is just Victor's fighting the wolf, then.
You're fighting the wolf. Well, as you're fighting the wolf, you guys are, like, rolling around on the ground. You get some punches in, the wolf gets some bites in. But as you roll around, and et cetera, you manage to throw the wolf off, and you hear a gunshot.
And, I'm going to stop in my tracks and turn and look in the direction of the gunshot.
Yeah, you see standing right behind you with his gun leveled at you is one of the soldier/guardsman dudes. But he didn't shoot at you, he shot at the wolf.
Of course.
And he managed to, as Alex threw it down, he managed to very cinematically blow its brains out and blow its head all over the tundra ground. So it was like it hit the ground and then it like exploded. Its head exploded, basically.
I'm going to look at the wolf and then look at the guard and then look at the wolf again. And I'm going to say, brutish and short.
Yeah, you see the guard hits you with his rifle. Knocks you out.
I got to not fold my knees. And, oh. Well, ow. What, does he do anything to Rose?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Rose is there, too. Yep. You see, one of the guards is not this guard, but another guard has grabbed her. And you see they're kind of like manhandling her.
And I'm going to look up at him with blood running down from the side of my face where I was hit. And I'm going to say, I wouldn't help myself to those particular wares.
Huh. You say, why not? The commander said just get her back in one piece. Didn't say we couldn't do anything before that.
Well, one piece means something when you're talking about a peasant girl who's wandered too far from home, and it means another thing when you're talking about the daughter of the Tsar. In this case, every piece is important, if you follow. I wouldn't dent or desecrate anything.
And one of the guards, I guess one of the younger dudes, is like, yeah, fuck that. And then he pulls his trousers down. And but by this point, the other guards have snatched up Rose. And they're taking her and you, if you want to go, back towards the gulag area. They're, meanwhile, leaving dude there, just kind of standing like, hey, guys. Hey, come on. I thought we were going to rape her.
I think we can end the scene there. Right. I guess that the stuff that happened there was pivotal enough to count as a double scene. You know, yeah, for a scene with doubles.
Yeah.
We fought off the wolves, and now everyone knows that she's the Tsar's daughter.
Yeah.
So, any yes buts, yes ends?
My yes but has nothing to do with the scene.
Oh, okay. It isn't really a yes but. It's a new scene.
Okay.
Okay. How about my points? Do I get my points?
I would say you tried awfully hard for that, so...
Didn't I?
And just the like, fighting Leviathan shit was pretty lousy, so... I'd have to give that up.
Swingle?
Oh, yeah, I vote.
Plus you... Yeah. I say, plus you,
That was my yes, but. That's why I said it had nothing to do with the scene. Anyways, so, for the listener, I wrote yes, but it was highly anticlimactic and fucks up what I was going to do next. Lol.
Lol.
But yes, I agree. Keep your peace. Okay.
All right. So it's Alex's turn.
All right. So. And I really, really want to do this, but I'm supposed to play it last.
Aw.
Yeah, you've got one to go before that one.
I don't have to play it last. It's recommended I play it last.
Otherwise, well, let me see how it goes in the book. It should always be played last from their hand. That doesn't sound like a maybe.
No, that's it. It says should, therefore it's optional.
But it also says always.
As in, you should consider doing it last all the time.
You should consider always doing this.
Yes.
I guess that
I am being my 40K rules lawyering is going into play now, and it says that it's optional.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I guess you'd just be forfeiting your ability to drop your last domino.
Yes.
Because you wouldn't turn after that, but okay.
All right, so I'm going to pick 3, and then followed by, let's see here. I'm going to pick 4, which is concerned about his family back home, and justice is the only thing that matters.
Well,
do you get to pick them for a blank, though?
For
a double blank, I mean?
Yeah, as a double wild card, the player pretty much has a blank check to bring as much
drama. Oh, okay.
So he can use it as a double wild card, yep.
All right, so with that in mind, you know, there's that one guy...
missed the... two that you listed.
What?
What were your two things?
It was, 3 and 4. Justice and concerned about family back home.
Okay, got you.
Alright, so that guard that was next to me who shot the wolf, you know, in the head, you know, the one I was fighting off there. Anyways, you know, I pick myself up and, you know, the guard motions his way, you know, saying, hey, alright, you know, get going back to camp. And so as we start walking, he gets a little too close to me, and I elbow him in the gut, and then I take him right in the chin, you know, which, you know, that the sweet spot, the money spot there in terms of knocking somebody out, or, you know, at least dazing him. And he hits the ground, and then he sees like a ferociousness like to my, you know, to my face, like, you know, like a person who's really determined, you know, almost ravenous. And I jerk the rifle out of his hands, and then I say to him, I'm not going back. I'm here. I'm going to settle what matters most to me. And then I'm gonna hit the butt of the rifle to his chest again, and you know, to make him, you know, understand that I mean business, and then as he's like almost coughing up blood, like, you know, is that kind of hurt?
Right.
I say to him, you're gonna go back and tell them that you never found me, or I will shoot you where you stand, and then I begin to trudge off. Back into the wilderness, and what happens is, as I'm trudging along, that's when you hear the monologue voice go back, and then it starts to, you know, the background, you know, the narrative starts to go again, and he said that fight with the wolf didn't just change him. To become a beast, it changed him to understand what it is. what matters the most. Family and revenge. For
and justice.
Yeah. Well, that is justice. Justice is revenge. Yeah, justice usually go hand in hand.
That's true.
And so as he keeps trudging, and then the scene starts to fade, like translucent, that kind of thing, and then you start to see the letter, the forged letter, somebody writing on it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to it, and it was the daughter's, the Rose's father, writing the letter and purposely screwing up stuff to make it look like I wrote it. So basically, I'm going back to kill her father because.
So you were framed by the Tsar.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And the reason why is, since justice is the only thing that matters, I'm going to kill him, even though I'm in love with Rose.
Sweet.
But that's what that's what I do.
Okay, Dan. Okay, so that ends the scene?
That ends my part. That's what I wanted to do.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to add a yes, but. Yes, but he froze to death before he could ever walk out of Siberia. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and I think you should get your points for that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I definitely tried to put a twist to it, and a twist of why I didn't go back to the scene.
Right.
All right. So go ahead.
Okay, my turn?
Yep.
Okay, let's see here. I'm going to throw this one down.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, whoops, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw that one down. Damn it.
Put it back in your hand.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter that you've seen it.
Yeah.
I meant to throw that one down.
Oh,
bam.
Shit.
Double six it.
This is self-conscious about his
Now, at this point, Commander Nikita, who's narcoleptic, has fallen asleep at the telegraph before he could transmit his entire message. And this scene takes place in his dream. So he's out in the woods, bare-chested, and he's near a stream, a very large stream. And you see there's a bear catching a fish in the stream. And you see he storms over to the bear and he's like, "Give me that fish." And the bear's like, "Whoop." And then basically a fight ensues over the fish where he wrestles the bear. And he basically wrestles the bear down with one arm and pulls the fish out with the other hand there. And, he gives the bear, the people's elbow or something and knocks it out. And then he's sitting there eating the fish in his dream. And meanwhile, in real life, Nikita is kind of rolling around in his sleep, kind of groggy. He's like, oh. And he's in the dream. He looks down and notices that both of his feet are now soaked in the water, because he put his feet down to rest. But he realizes that both of his feet and legs are now thoroughly soaked in the water. And the water kind of, even though it's a stream, the water sort of starts to take on a whirlpool effect, and it's like it's pulling him down. It's dragging him into the with the undercurrents, dragging him down. You see, in real life, he's startled, and he's groggy, rolling around, but he still hasn't woken up yet. And he's pulled underneath the water. And at that point, he sees something coming towards him. And it's a mermaid. Yes, a mermaid. And he's like, oh. And then he's kind of like, well, this is convenient.
because for some reason he can breathe underwater now.
Right.
And he's, you know, because it's a dream and whatnot. And he's like, oh, well, that's convenient, a beautiful mermaid. And then he realizes that his pants are missing and that she's laughing at his small penis. And then in real life, he wakes up and realizes that he's pissed himself. And that's pretty much all I've got to say about that.
I'm going to add a yes and.
Sorry.
Yes, and his thermal socks are soaked and won't be able to be used for a long time.
Ah, yeah. So he really pissed himself. Oh, well. Right, so that's pretty much that.
Yeah, well, I think there's no question about whether or not you earned those points. I think those points have been earned. Okay, so it's time for my final scene. So I'm going to frame it as Rose and I are running back towards the camp, or we're being carried back to the camp, right? Mm. By the guards. Yeah. And we'll say the guards are in this scene, of course, and Rudy's playing the guards, and actually, you know what? No, I'll take the guards for this scene, okay. But I'm going to give Rudy Rose.
Okay. Okay.
Huh. And I'm going to play double fives. Huh. Which, and five is craves attention and approval.
Yeah.
So while the guards are sort of dragging us back, I'm going to lean over to Rose and say, Don't you want to get out of here?
She nods. She looks frightened.
Wouldn't you like to go back home?
Not really, but at this point...
Wouldn't you like to go back to St. Petersburg and be a queen?
Huh.
Or at least a princess? A noble woman?
Yeah.
Maybe with a respectable... dignified scholar on your arm.
You see, she looks at you and she's like, huh. It's like, what are you implying?
I'm implying you should follow my lead.
And she's like, then lead.
I'm going to turn to one of the guard that's dragging me or that's closest to me. I'm going to say, excuse me? Excuse me?
You're the guards, right?
Oh, shit, yeah. And he's, yeah, what? Well, the lady here, it's kind of embarrassing, but she needs to, oh, boy, I don't know the polite terminology, but you understand. And he says, oh, well, can't she hold it? Well, you know how women are. You know, lack of self-control and things. You wouldn't want her to embarrass herself in front of all of these men. I mean, if you let the daughter of the Tsar disgrace herself, boy, you'd be in for... You don't even know. Boy, you think getting transferred to Siberia is the end of your career? Imagine what you would do to you. Yeah, well... I don't know how to handle this. Is there some kind of special, like... Do I have to do something special here? I mean, does she need, like, quilted, like, silk rags to wipe herself with or something? Well, you know, I come from a... position, a dignified status. Like, I can help her in a way that will ensure that no harm comes to your career or her reputation. But you're going to have to let me take her off a little ways. Oh, you know, this is like obviously. I mean, every stupid fucking guard falls for this trick. But you know what? I'm fucking in Siberia. It really can't get any worse. So go on and take a piss or whatever. So I'm gonna take Rose, sort of lead her off a little ways, and then I'm going to be like, "Yeah, we should probably run now."
She's like, "Yeah, good idea."
And while we're running, I'm going to say, "So, what did you think about my offer?"
As well, I don't know what my mother would think.
Well, let me tell you this. I have friends in St. Petersburg. I'm well connected. All I need to do is get one telegraph out with the news about you. And there will be such a scandal that they'll have to bring you home. Every society hen will be clucking about it. And the Tsar will have no choice. His mother will hear about it, and then he really will have no choice. But we just have to get to that telegraph office. But you need to promise me.
Yeah?
You need to promise me that I'll be taken care of. That, boy, I didn't, boy, I never thought I would be doing this in the middle of the woods in Siberia with wolves and guards chasing after us, but, well, and I'm going to get on one knee in front of her. I don't have a ring, but, and I'm going to reach into my pockets, and I'm going to find a washer that broke off the shovel when it broke, and I'm going to put it on her finger and say, "So, Rose?"
You see, she kind of gasps, and she's like, I don't know how I could refuse.
That's the most I can ask for. And then I'm going to get back up and grab her by the arm and drag her in the direction of the telegraph office. And I'm going to end the scene there. Unless you have anything to add.
Not particularly. What do you think, Alex?
Not really sure what I could contribute to that either, because
yeah, I don't really haven't.
I mean, he's got the attention down. That was it was a dramatic event to basically propose to her in the middle of a gulag. That's definitely dramatic.
Yeah.
And of course, all the reasons for it are selfish and for attention. On a grand scale, not just on a small scale. He'll get all the attention of all the other royal people and all that stuff.
Right.
So,
and of course, his scheme involves creating a lot of attention.
Yeah. So it's a win-win. Yeah. It's all across the board. Yeah. That's a double up, sir.
Whoop. All right. So now, since Alex has removed himself from the game...
I mean, technically, I could add something, but it would not be to this, you know, it would not be to your area. It would be somewhere off in the distance.
Right. So, I guess, and you kind of wrote the epilogue for your character also.
Well, I also could write the, in the future, what happens to that for that scene.
That's true. I almost feel like this is set up almost for a sequel that deals with your character. Yeah. Like, trying to get revenge on the Tsar and my character trying to worm his way into, like, high society. Like, a sequel set back in St. Petersburg.
Yes. But anyway, so because, by the rules, I'm out of this forever, I won't add any more things to it.
Rudy?
I don't have anything to add.
Well, you've got a domino to play.
Oh, but it's Alex's turn, isn't it?
No, Alex doesn't. He played his double blank and basically excused himself from the game in the last.
Oh, okay. So he's not gonna play the last one.
All right. Well, I can't. Because I'm a rules lawyer, which is why I was able to finagle right. being able to play those double negatives at the very, you know, nice. When I wasn't supposed to technically. Right. So, but the thing is, though, if you don't have something like that, you have to play your last. You have to keep playing. I am forced to not be able to put one down.
Well, yeah, they are taken out of the story in some tragic way. So when he played his dump, he was taken out of the story.
Right. Okay. Well, in that case, I'll throw my last one down, which you've already
final
seen.
Final scene.
Yep. Okay, so Nikita is back in the telegraph office.
Okay.
And he's hastily... You see, there's really no place for him to hide, you know, any of the, you know, his pissy clothes, basically.
Right. Now, before you, who's in this scene? Am I in this scene?
Yeah, you're in the scene. Rose is in the scene.
And who's playing Rose?
I guess Alex, you can play her.
Sure.
If you want. Sweet. Okay, yeah, so there's no place for him to hide his pissy clothes. So he just so at this point he basically is like, oh fuck it, and he strips down to everything but his rifle and his blanket. He puts the blanket around his shoulders, not even bothering to cover his modesty.
Right.
And I guess the guards are approaching now.
Pavel and Rose may be approaching, since they were running to the telegraph office to send that message.
Oh, right. Okay, so I don't know about the guards. I guess it doesn't really matter.
Well, they may have been chasing after. I mean, it's up to you, obviously, if they were chasing after Pavel and Rose.
I'm trying to think which would be better. Well, we'll say that a few guards are tailing. And you guys are, like, well ahead of them. But they basically, they're catching up, kind of. Okay. So in what part of the wilderness are you dudes in now? Or have you gotten to the telegraph office yet?
Well, do you want us to have gotten to the telegraph office yet?
Oh, you can say that you're near there, I guess.
Okay, we're closing in on, we can see the telegraph office. And we're running towards the doorway to try to get in.
Okay. All right, one of the guards that's chasing you fires off a shot into the air and fucking
that's outside my window if you heard that.
What was that?
That was a cat.
You accidentally shot a cat
fighting another cat.
Yeah. All right, so he shoots a cat off the fence and but yeah, so he shoots into the air. And then he kind of stumbles and falls down, but Nikita hears it. And he turns around, and just as you're getting into the telegraph office, Nikita steps out, dressed in his man cape and rifle.
And no pants.
And no pants, yep, just his modesty flapping all over the place. And he basically gets out just in time to pin you to the... to the, like, side of the building.
Oh. Excuse me. Officer.
Excuse me.
Captain. General.
Now, where would you be going?
I would be going to report on a family emergency. I desperately need to send a telegraph about a family emergency.
Then I assume you can read and write.
Oh, I can.
You see, he takes out the letter that he had earlier with him, and he unfolds it and hands it to you. And it is... It's instructions from some shadowy... somebody. It's not signed. Right. It's instructions to a, I need a Russian name real quick.
Ivan.
Oh, I closed that tab.
Oh, damn it. I will say Ivan Popovich.
Yeah, sure, Ivan Popovich.
It's instructions to a one Ivan Popovich to find. I'm trying to think of how to do this the lulziest way. Well, to find and I guess subdue, we'll say, a certain runaway daughter, i.e. Rose.
Right.
And Rose almost gasps, like.
It's like, that's right. I've been on to her since she got out here.
Well.
I was just waiting for the right time. I've already telegraphed ahead. An escort should be here shortly.
I'm going to look down and I'm going to gesture to his bare crotch. And I'm going to say, are you sure this is the right time?
He's like, of course it is. Regardless of how I'm dressed, I'm certain to get a promotion of the highest kind. Or some sort of extreme pat on the back for this. Now.
Well, maybe. Maybe you will.
See, he takes his gun off of his shoulder and points it at you. Just now get on the ground.
I could do that. So, what kind of rank do you think Zaro will give you?
Oh, I don't know. Riches would be good enough for me.
Riches. But
riches and riches
make you a general, right?
Oh. I don't know. I was a colonel in the military, so.
The people would make you a general if you save her life.
Who are the people?
The people are everyone. The people of Russia. The people who matter. The old women in St. Petersburg. The Tsar's mother. How do you think she's going to feel about her if she finds out that her granddaughter was... What were the words you used? Subdued?
Hold on. Just to let you know, out in the background there, Rose is looking around, trying to see if she can grab something. Like, this would be in the camera angle. Like, as you guys are doing it, you see, like, she's doing... She's trying to grab something.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Subdued?
Yeah. Subdued. And you see Cox is, well, I guess you wouldn't cock it because it's 1800.
Well, it could be a bolt action. So you're cocking it in one way.
Yeah, so he pulls the bolt and, you know, he slides a bolt on his rifle. He says, yes, subdued. By any means necessary. And then he points the rifle at Rose.
All right, and so yeah, she she looks down, you know, kind of like as in like I guess I have to face you know my sentence there, and she then poses her arms out like you know like a crucifix style. And she says,
Jesus
like, hit, yeah, hit me, you know, strike my heart now.
Hit me with your best shot.
Yeah. Okay. Strike my heart now if you must.
Whatever happened to that shovel handle?
No.
As long as Rudy does it right, we can do this. Stop it. Rudy, shoot her in the chest, okay? There, we're done.
Rudy, how much time do I have to get to the telegraph?
You would have time, but he might, like, shoot her.
Right.
There still wouldn't be enough time for you even to send a message anyway, so it doesn't really matter too much.
Because
he could just shoot you, like, as he gets done shooting her. That's what I'm saying.
Depends on accident type.
Right. Although he has to pull the bolt back on his rifle and reload it.
That he does.
So,
yeah,
so about a second and a half. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, no, more than that.
A little longer than that.
More like at least 30 seconds.
I don't know about 30 seconds.
He needs to get the thing out of.
No, dude.
Oh yeah, actually,
because
he doesn't have another bullet, so he would need to go back into the telegraph station to get it anyway.
Oh, this is outside the telegraph. Oh, it's in the doorway. Yeah.
Right. So he took his clothes off.
Anyways.
Right.
Rudy, take the shot.
So I am going to.
I'm just gonna wait for Hank to do whatever he's gonna do. Then.
Fuck.
So you know what? Just to make it more dramatic.
Okay.
I'll count down and then I'll take the shot.
Okay.
What should we have, a 30 count or a 10 count?
And make Will have a decision fast.
All right.
Okay. All right, so I am going to run
10
into the telegraph office. I'm going to start to send. Yep. I'm going to tap on the
6.
But I'm going to like tap like I'm sending a telegraph.
4, 3, 2.
I would stop if I were you.
And you hear a gunshot if you're inside. You can't really see it, but you hear a gunshot. And yeah, he blows her chest open. Assuming she's not wearing a vest or something. Like in Wild Wild West.
You know, what happened, Will sees it, she gets shot in the chest. It's not like spaghetti western style where there's like an explosion of blood. Yeah. But shot connects, she hits the ground, and then Will starts to see like a small pool of blood. Like not intense, but it's like a small amount.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna go ahead and drop that now.
I'm going to come out of the telegraph office. And I'm going to look at him, and I'm going to look at Rose. And I'm going to be like, well, you did what you had to do, but now all of St. Petersburg knows about it.
Who?
They know what you've done. They know who she was. And they know that I did everything I possibly could to save her life. Granted, maybe she was still alive while I was sending the telegraph informing them. Murder, but I will return to St. Petersburg when I get back to St. Petersburg, and I'm sure that now they won't be able to keep the hero who tried to save Tsar's daughter locked up. I will be somebody. I'll be a socialite. I'll be a man of influence. And I'm going to walk that, and I'm going to kneel over Rose, and I'm going to take the washer off of her finger, and I'm going to put it in my pocket, and then I'm going to kiss her on the forehead and say, well, thank you. I would have married you, but, this is the next best thing. And then I reach down, and I wipe the, and I kind of take my handkerchief out that I used to wipe the blood off of Alex earlier, and I press it to her chest where the hole is, where she was shot, and I said, here, let me give you a hand. And then I stand up, and I kick her in the face, and I say, or a foot, and I walk away. And I'm going to drop my card.
All right, the only thing I wanted to include as a yes and is after they pick her up and they put her on the train to, be delivered, for a burial. And as Rose and Will's character, Pavel, they're on the train, he's in a separate cart, getting ready to be taken off to Petersburg. The last scene is you hear the faint sound of coughing, and you see Rose is still alive.
Oh shit.
Fuck. But she's gasping hard, and the reason why is she was looking back and forth, and that shovel that was missing, and she stuffed it in her shirt. Which is why she said, take the shot, and, did the Christ pose, as in shoot me in the chest. It's because she tried to level it as much as she could.
Oh, wow. That was awesome.
Man. So.
So, yeah. Well, since that was my last scene, do I get the point? I know I don't get the points for the guards, but do I get the points for the...
What was one? Good with a rifle?
Yeah, you did. Right. You were definitely good with the rifle.
Okay, so I...
Okay. So, oh, and we all dropped our cards. So, Rudy had the three of spades, yep. Which was,
Fiend, you're secretly working for Rose's downfall.
Right. So, after, if each of the characters achieved their secret agenda, I would say, yes, close enough. You may not have killed her, but you did
right.
What you were expected to do. So, you get your 10 points.
All right.
What
was your...
In Gattaca.
Oh, yeah, you were in it for the money.
Yeah, I had the two of diamonds. Right. So I was in it for the money and the influence. And I think I don't know. Well, it's your call. You're really in it for the money, fame, or power. Rose is your ticket for doing that.
Well, you wanted fame and power, and money comes with fame and power. So you were in it for all three.
Yeah.
And you did your best to do that.
Yeah.
Which is why you didn't take the bullet for her. You ran to go alert she
was. Yes, exactly. Yeah. If I had hearts in there, I would have taken the bullet for her. But
yeah.
I wanted to make sure that everyone in St. Petersburg knew that I would have taken the bullet. Okay. So I get my 10 points then.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, I don't see why not.
Alex, you had the four of hearts, so you were secretly in love with Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Which made it kind of difficult because we didn't have a lot of building scenes with her.
You ran off before you... Yeah.
Well, no, it's just that we really didn't have any scenes that really built up a potential relationship. It was more like, yeah, I have feelings. And so that's why I did my best to try and save her, not because I knew she was royalty.
You got closer with the wolves. I mean, if you had stuck around, you probably could have made a move for her instead of Pavel doing it.
Yeah, but that's why that happens, because I was trying to defend them off. My love was so profound that I was willing to let her go.
See, the question is if you achieved your secret agenda. So that's kind of tricky with love. Like, did you achieve love? Well, let me see what...
Actually, you know what? Did any of us really achieve our agenda?
Well, it says, and seeks to win her heart. So I don't know that you won Rose's heart. Well, I would say that, I mean, yes, Rose is potentially alive at the end.
Yeah.
But we still got what we were after, you know. Maybe when she gets back to St. Petersburg alive, she'll be able to undo that. But to what degree?
That's true.
If the Tsar wants her dead, or wanted her dead, she won't be able to just come out in public. And she can't really use me since, you know, I turned on her. And she can't really, she'd have to cozy up to one of us in order to make that work out for her, because otherwise she doesn't really have anyone waiting for her.
But yeah, that's why I was instantly thinking of the sequel, which would be me arriving to St. Petersburg, she being there, and then I helping her kill her father.
Right.
But that's the whole thing, is that it was all built up for the second part, and since we don't have enough dominoes, we can't continue it, but this is good enough for, like, a full...
Yeah, I think we could do a sequel at some point, though.
Yeah. Or at least have the potential out there for the person listening.
Right. Right. But I would say, as far as this one is concerned...
I definitely did not win her heart in this. At least it was not mentioned, because none of us even tried to mention that she was feeling had any feelings for me, even though I was doing a ton of stuff to protect her.
Right.
Like, you know, me swapping the shovel in order to, you know, protect her, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I was doing a lot of things in attempts to befriend her, but none of you guys were hinting at all that she was falling for me. So right. It makes it kind of difficult because I was trying to in subtle ways, and no one tried to keep up with.
Well, I think if you had stuck around, you probably could have won her heart.
But you know what I'm saying, though, right? I was trying to do a more subtle approach, and you guys were trying to force your stuff onto it, which is why it was successful, and mine was not. It's because I was trying to do more hints at it possibly happening.
That's true, although I still think yours could definitely have been successful if you had a final scene where you pushed the point, you know?
Yeah.
Where you were like, no, Rose, don't go off with that creep who's trying to use you for your money, like elope with me or something.
All right, so you guys vote no. I still think it was going to be possible, but we just don't...
It would have been possible, but we didn't get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, here's a question about scarring. Mm-hmm. For the blank halves and the blank holes, do we count those as whatever we chose to have them stand in for? Or do we count them as nothing?
I think you count them as
whatever you...
Yeah, that would make sense anyway. I'm not sure.
That would make more sense than counting them as nothing.
Yeah. Because it's a negative and you have to
double down
on it, basically.
Right, you wouldn't think that would negatively affect your score. It might even count for more, but I don't remember him saying anywhere how much it counts for. Maybe it's in the scoring section. Let me see. I don't know that. Yeah, the only thing I can think is that the blank tiles get counted as whatever you use them as.
That would make sense. Because that would really fuck somebody that has blank tiles if it counted as left.
Right.
Oh, and I know. I know, sir.
The only thing is you can also use blank tiles just to, like, add drama to the scene without calling on one of your points. Although that whole thing is vague, exactly how you would do that and what that would mean in the game. But anyway, let's just count the blank tiles as whatever we had them as.
Yeah. I have a total of 31.
I'm totaling mine now up now. I use my blank one as a double four, right?
Yeah.
Is that 31 counting the 10
That's
point?
That's counting the 10.
Oh, okay. I have 45 with the 10.
Okay. So yeah, you won, bro, Seth.
And Alex, I guess, must be under that. Okay, sorry.
It's okay. I was just trying to remember 5 and... Okay, yeah, 5. Oh, yeah, it was 1. It was 5 and 1. Okay. So, 6. All right, so I got 32. Since I didn't get my tenor. Or replaced my other card.
That's still pretty good. You beat Rudy with that. Rudy got 2 of his denied.
He got 2 of his really high point ones denied.
Well, it was one of the middle points, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So that's that.
We're going to set the epilogue on the train going back to St. Petersburg.
Okay.
Rudy, you're going to be in this. I'm going to be in this. And I'm not going to reveal whether or not Alex's character will be in this. Whether or not Victor will be in this. So it's set on the train headed back from Siberia to St. Petersburg.
Right.
And Rudy, your character, Nikita, is seated on the train, and you see you've been given a brand new dress uniform, and there's a new medal hanging off of it, courtesy of the Tsar, and you're headed home to St. Petersburg to receive your new post in the Tsar's office directly, sir, in the Tsar's royal, you know, retinue, you know, his royal guard, basically, his royal, yeah. And while you were sitting there on the train, you had started to nod off, and you were falling asleep, and you were sleeping, and you, as you fall asleep, you imagine you're sitting at the Tsar's table, and it's just you and the Tsar's wife, and one of the Tsar's legitimate daughters, and the Tsar's legitimate daughter is making eyes at you. And you see the Tsar stands up, and you go to stand up because the Tsar stood up at the table, but he gestures for you to remain seated. And then he takes glass and he personally lifts up the jug that has the wine in it and fills your wine glass. And you see the and you see the wine pouring from the jug into your glass. And then he sets the glass down in front of you. And then he moves closer to you and he puts his hand on your shoulder. And as he puts his hand on your shoulder, you feel an actual hand touch your shoulder in the real world, and you start awake.
Okay.
And the first thing you do is look down at your crotch, and you discover, to your relief, that your crotch is dry, and that you didn't wet yourself.
Right, right.
And Pavel is standing over there, standing over you with his hand on your shoulder, and you see he's wearing a nice, clean kind of business attire. And he's on his way back to St. Petersburg, too. And he, like, slides into the booth next to you. Says, well, I just wanted to let you know that there are no hard feelings about all the busted lips and broken noses and bruises and assorted tortures that you put me through.
And he kind of nods to you.
We both got what we wanted in the long run, didn't we? So I hope you have no hard feelings against me for doing what I needed to do.
And see, he sighs and he says, no.
You know, someday Russia's going to be a democracy.
Maybe he laughs out loud.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not even in 100 years. But in 200 years? I mean, 200 years from now. Hell, 150 years from now, Russia will be a democracy. And things will change. And what men like you and I did, what we had to do, will be forgotten. Because we'll just have been contributors to it, and we'll just have helped the inevitable happen. And if we did some things along the way to make our lives easier, to make our lives more pleasant, well, who's going to remember that in the long run? Hell, who remembers that today? Right?
You philosophize too much, my friend.
Maybe. Maybe. But you're too miserable. Lighten up. Listen, you can piss yourself all you want. The Tsar is not going to care after what you've done for him.
He quirks a brow at you and he's like,
it doesn't matter what our flaws are, what we've done. We've got the good life ahead of us now. And as he says that, one of the guards who are manning the train comes up to Nikita and he says, sir?
Yes?
I don't know how to tell you this.
Speak.
The girl, Rose, her body was supposed to make the trip back to St. Petersburg.
You see, he stands up. He's like, what happened?
I don't know what happened. But her body, it's gone. And then cut to the side of the, cut to outside the train. There are two figures on horseback riding away from the train. One of them is Rose. The other is Victor. And Rose is riding on the back of the horse with Victor as they follow the train to St. Petersburg. The end.
Oh.
Wow.
Yep. So that was our playtest of The Trouble with Rose.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. It's the epilogue.
Oh, wait. No, we didn't do all of it.
Oh, there's more?
Yep. We got to take a bow.
Oh.
Virtual bow.
I actually stand all the way up while my headphones are plugged in.
Yeah, so we do a virtual bow then.
Well, and I don't have a creaky chair to do that in order to prove that I bowed.
Okay. So, you all deserve it. Hopefully you had an entertaining time and look forward to playing again. Yeah, I do, actually. I'd like to see the sequel and what happened. Okay, so that was our playtest of The Trouble with Rose. We're going to stop the recording now and record the podcast either right now or maybe tomorrow. It is pretty late. Okay, so, Todd, hopefully you enjoyed that. We did.
Yeah, it was cool. All
right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And recording.